ജയം ഷുപാദ ബ്രഹ്മംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയശരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി ഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിഥിനിരാ പ്രവിഷ്ഠ വിഷുപാദ ബ്രഹ്മംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമ കുണ്ഡരാധാ കുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാം കി മായപ്പൂർധാം കി മധുരപുരിധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരിധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശിശി ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാമിഷപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമത്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സബല സർവധാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യദാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ജായതേ തദാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനത്തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരദശ്ചാത്തേഷവിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ ഹേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത ഗൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമത്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാവരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പനരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം ഭൂരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായാം വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാദരമാജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി സ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലം ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദിദീർഷദാം നമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുപ്പണിതാദൃതാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം നഃ കണികാഭി കാവികാവി നമാവും വിഷ്ണു പദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാണി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമല് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണമഭീഷ്ണശാം വ്യാസം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം ഈ ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാ മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസ വിശാല ബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരംഗായതപത്രനേത്രാം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നവാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദോക്താ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും വിഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തകേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കണം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേവീയമാനം മുദാം ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗവദേ ക്രമൌപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹം ജ്ഞാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ ഹീ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ In the 8th canto, Bhagavatam, after Gajendra Moksham story, the next pastime is the churning of the milk ocean and Lord Kurma's appearance. Then Lakshmi Devi's Swayambaram and how the nectar came from the milk ocean. Followed by the stealing of the nectar and killing of the demons. This is that sequence, and after that Vamana Avataram, Vamana Murti's appearance, right? So 28th chapter, just read that and we'll continue.
ഗരലം തരളാനലം പുരസ്ഥാൽ ജലധേരിദ്വിജകാലകാളകൂടം അമരസ്തുതിവാദമോദ നിഘ്നോ ഗിരിശസ്ത്ര നിപപൗഭവൽ പ്രിയാർത്ഥം വിമധൽസു സുരാസുരേഷു ജാത സുരഭിസ്വാമൃഷിശൂന്യഥാസ്ത്രിധാമൻ ഹയരത്നമഭൂതദേഭരത്നം ദിദരുശ്ചാപ്സരസസുരേഷു താനി ജഗദീശഭവൽപരാതദാനീം കമനീയ കമലാ ബഭൂവ ദേവീ അമലാമവലോകയാം വിലോല സകലോഭിസ്പൃഹയാം ബഭൂവ ലോകാഃ ത്വയി ദത്തഹൃദേ തദൈവ ദേവ്യൈ ത്രിദശേന്ദ്രോമണിപീഠികാം വ്യധാരിൽ സകലോപഹൃതാഭിഷേചനീയൈ ഋഷയസ്താം ശ്രുതിഗീർഭിരഭ്യഷിഞ്ചൻ അഭിഷേകജലാനുപാതിമുഗ്ധം ത്വദപാംഗൈരവഭൂഷിതാംഗവല്ലീം മണികുണ്ടലപീതചേലഹാരപ്രമുഖൈസ്താമരാദയോന്യഭൂഷൻ വരണസ്രജമാത്രഭൃംഗനാദാം ധതദീസാകുചകുംഭമന്ദയാന പദശിഞ്ചിത മഞ്ജുനൂപുരാ ത്വാം കലിതവ്രീളവിലാസമാസസാദ ഗിരിശദ്രുഹിണാദി സർവദേവാൻ ഗുണഭാജോപ്യവിമുക്തദോഷലേശാൻ അവിമൃശ്യ സദൈവ സർവരമ്യേ നിഹിതാ ത്വയ്യനയാഭി ദിവ്യമാല ഉരസാ തരസാ മമാനിധൈനാം ഭുവനാനാം ജനനീം അനന്യഭാവാം ത്വദുരോ വിലസത്തദീക്ഷണശ്രീ പരിവൃഷ്ട പരിപുഷ്ടമാസ വിശ്വം അതിമോഹന വിഭ്രമാതദാനീം മദയന്തീ ഖലു വാരുണീ നിരാഗാൽ തമസ പദവീമദാസ്ത്വമേന മതിസമ്മാനനയാ മഹാസുരേഭ്യം തരുണാംബുദസുന്ദരസ്തദാത്വം നനു ധന്വന്തരിരുത്തിദാംബുരാശേ അമൃതം കലശേ വഹൻ കരാഭ്യാം അഖിലാർത്തിം ഹര മാരുദാലയേഷ.
യെസ്റ്റർഡേ വി വർ സേയിങ് അബൌട്ട് ദാറ്റ് ചേണിംഗ് ഓഫ് ദി മിൽക്ക് ഓഷ്യൻ. And from that milk, while churning, so many things came out from that, is it not? We have seen there that in the yoga sadhana also, correspondingly in the tattvam spoken in the yoga processes, this parayamathanam, it is corresponding to the yoga sadhana. Yoga sadhana, what happens? We mentioned yesterday that while and coming to spiritual life first time, when we enter into any sadhana process, initially all the vasanas will come up from inside. So that vishaya vasana will give us a lot of trouble in the beginning to continue with spiritual life. So it is at that time the help of the spiritual master. If he is a realized soul, it would not cause any problems for him. Otherwise, because he is not in the bodily concept of life, and we are having the difficulty in the spiritual life in the beginning because of the vasanas that's coming up. And someone to talk to, the only person you can speak to is either to Krishna directly or to the spiritual master. But because spiritual master is present right in front of us, he is the one who is accessible rather than Krishna. So normal tendency is for us to go to the spiritual master and speak to him about the difficulties what one has. But and because the spiritual master is not identifying with the body, supposed to be a liberated soul, and also he has no selfish interests in life to exploit, or to, he is free from the all other misconceptions. So therefore, even when you express your difficulties to him, he wouldn't be affected by that. Why? Because he is in a transcendently situated. That is a normal system. So, but if not, it will affect him. It will definitely affect him. And that is what he is saying, that poison that has come out, which has stuck to the spiritual master, is the one representation of that, is that poison stuck in Lord Shiva's throat. The disciples' miseries or disciples' problems in spiritual life that has come out as a poison that has been given to the spiritual master, and it comes and stays in his throat as a blue,
color, that bluish throat of Lord Shiva, is a representation of this situation in a spiritual life, in spiritual life. Where we have mentioned that Ramakrishna Paramahamsa had got cancer in his throat, and Ramana Maharshi had sarcoma in his body. So, things like that. So, so when the demigods go and glorify the Lord Shiva, Shiva took that poison. That means, what that means is that all the Vishayavasana what we have, the disciple has, the spiritual master is supposed to accept that and protect the disciple. The spiritual master should accept the Vishayavasana that's coming up in the heart, in the mind, and he will accept that and protect the disciple from that. He should be capable of doing that. The spiritual master should be capable. But, and after that, that is the first stage. First comes is this Vishayavasana. Vishayavasana means our previous vasana for enjoying senses. That has been with us for a long period of time. And that is stacked up inside. It is looking for an opportunity to take advantage of, right? So, when it gets an opportunity, it will come out. And best opportunity is when you start the spiritual life. Initially, when the churning begins inside, through the sadhana, and when the churning starts, these vasanas will come up first. The first thing that will come up is the vasana, like the poison in the case of milk ocean churning. A normal situation, a authorized or bona fide spiritual master will be able to take out all that poison from the disciple and protect him from that. After that, he is continuing with his spiritual life. So the second thing what comes out is the siddhis. Siddhis will start coming to him. Siddhis means attractions, different attractions. For example, that is what is represented, this Airavadam, Uchaishravasa and all that. Elephants, horses and all that. These things will come out. Different kinds of vehicles or transport, they'll all come. That means you can see it is that situation that you will get some transport very easily. For example, normally a householder has to buy a car. He has to work a few years to at least to save an ordinary 1 liter car. You have to need 10,000 pounds, isn't it? You have to buy a car of that capacity, a new car. But sometimes you will find sannyasis are given car. Sannyasis, gurus, they are all given cars freely. You don't have to do any work. Somebody comes and says, please have it. Please take this car, he says. So, for a householder, he has to work hard to get it. But sannyasi means somebody will give it to him. And sannyasi is saying, I don't want anything. And he is wandering around. But people will come and say, please take it. He says. So, what is the idea behind that? The idea is this, that don't get liberated, stay here. That's the idea behind it. To pull him back here. Right? So, and the sannyasi or guru, he will feel, I've got this car, a nice car, modern one, right? And he will probably feel a little attachment to it, and some happiness in traveling that, and some pride will come from that, right? Then, fall. So, it is only to make him fall that you are giving this car to him. Or that's the purpose behind it. Similarly, a lot of people will give vehicles and transport facilities. So many things will come like that in that process. So that is that stage in the spiritual life, Amrutanubhavam. Amrutanubhavam means that they start enjoying that nectar is slowly coming up from inside. And that will come in the form of these vehicles and so many other opulences, right? Afterwards, what does happens? Kalpataru. Remember Parijadam and all that came out. Remember it is, if you look at the sequence while churning, you will see the same thing happening. So Kalpadaru, what is that? Kalpadaru means, what is Parijadam? Parijadam means that wishful tree, which fulfills all your desires, isn't it? Whatever desires you have, it gets fulfilled. That's Parijadam, Kalpadaru, it's called, right? And again, when your subtle body gets further purified, little bit more purified, even ordinary people will start getting this kind of experiences. That means that whatever they desire inside, it just happens to them in their life. By the time they think about that, somehow or the other, it comes and falls in front of them. In the sense, it comes through somebody, it comes in front of them. And people start thinking, whatever is this, and he starts getting shocked. He starts thinking, I was just thinking about it, just Krishna has arranged all this. You'll start saying like this. That's how you start thinking. Krishna has arranged all these things, right? Krishna doesn't interfere in all these things. He keeps out of all this. So, and it is at that time, one should not fall into this kind of trap. Neither to feel, first of all, not to desire anything. And even if any desire did happen, if anything by chance it comes in, not to feel happy about it. Neither to feel happy about it. If you started feeling happy, you are trapped. You are trapped there. So, whatever you start desiring inside, if it all happens, imagine that situation, there is nothing more dangerous than that. Suppose you are desiring so many things, and it's all happening in life, whatever you desire. There's nothing more dangerous than that. Because we don't know what to desire. We will go and desire so many rubbish things, stupid things. We'll go and desire all that, right? Then after desiring, it will create this trouble later. Therefore, this desires getting fulfilled is one of those siddhis that happens at a little later stage. So, after all that, so what happens at that time, we will desire many things and create trouble from that. Then what happens is, after all that is gone, then comes Lakshmi. Lakshmi comes. We are not out of trouble still. We are not out of trouble. The Lakshmi comes, right? Generally, people think Lakshmi means opulence, isn't it? Material opulence, wealth. A lot of wealth comes. And Aishwarya means avyahradam. Avyahradam means that all kinds of siddhis and different capacity, abilities will come to that person. And even at that point, the sadhaka, one who is executing the sadhana, he should think that this is all Krishna's, not mine. That awareness should be there. And that is why, at that time, all the Aishwarya Siddhis, everything, represented by Lakshmi Devi, Lakshmi going and taking shelter of Krishna. This is what that is indicating, right? And that is why what they say, that marry Lakshmi to Krishna. Lakshmi to Krishna. Because this Aishwaryam, opulences, is the last stage of temptations that comes in the yoga process. Comes in the yoga process. Aishwarya means not only money. Money is one part of that. Lakshmi, when we say Lakshmi, that means when she stands next to Krishna, all the good qualities that comes in a person, that's also represented by Lakshmi. That means, Lakshmi, when we say Lakshmi, when you are very close to Krishna, Krishna's good qualities will come to us in a small degree, right? That means compassion and kindness and friendship to all living entities. Sarvabhuta Sukhat Bhavam. And also knowledge of past, present and the future. Trigala Jnanam. These are all, these are potencies which normally people don't have, but due to Krishna's association with Krishna, it creates inside us. It creates inside us. Acharya Swamiji mentions this in the Dakshinamurti Sotram, which we had discussed before, that in the topmost level, when we reach that highest level of realization, Aishwaryam, this kind of Aishwaryam will come. And what happens is, when this Aishwaryam or good qualities comes, even at that time, the yogi who is practicing the yoga process, he will feel proud inside. When the good qualities comes to a person, you can feel pride about that. right? So, and he starts feeling, I've got all these qualities. That is an ahankaram itself. And at that time, Lakshmi will go. So, Lakshmi, it is for this reason that Lakshmi is married to Vishnu, married to Krishna. Lakshmi is married to Vishnu for this reason. Lakshmi puts the garland on Vishnu's neck. Vishnu's neck, right? What that means is, all these qualities are Krishna's, not mine. Registering that, right? So, it is only due to Krishna's mercy, these qualities have come. These qualities have come. And once you realize that this good nature in me, Satyagunam is building up inside, right? So when Satyagunam is building up, if you take pride there in Satyagunam, then you are in trouble. But due to that Satyagunam, if you start realizing Krishna has given me this Satyagunam, he is giving it to me a little bit, that's what I am feeling, this happiness. If you start thinking like that, you will start going up. Otherwise you will fall again. So, and it is at that time the nectar comes. Amrutam comes. Amrutam will start popping up inside. Due to the increased quantity of Satyagunam inside, the nectar will start coming up inside. Amrutam means samadhi state, right? Samadhi, that means the feeling no connection with the body, no connection with this world, totally established in the truth, enjoying that blissful nature of the soul. All these things will happen. And that is what is called self-realization at that point, right? So, Amrutam, finally when we say the Amrutam has come up means Nirvikalpa Samadhi is experienced at that time, right? But even that stage, if that jiva, that person who is practicing spiritual life, that jiva, if he is not come to a state of maturity inside, because these things are new to us. We have started spiritual life, and in the process of spiritual life, different experiences are coming. We are new to that. All these things are new to us, isn't it? So, if we are not matured enough inside, we can easily get tempted by that and fall from there. So, even after coming to this stage of receiving the nectar of realizing the self, even then, now and then, you will suddenly can fall. Why? Because even though you got there, there could be a possibility that there are certain asura vasana, little asura vasanas still inside, which has not been gone, which has not gone yet, right? So what happens is, it is at that time this asura vasana will come and it will steal that nectar experience of self-realization. And that is what in the story, demons stealing the nectar. Demon stealing the nectar is this, that when you are very close to self-realization, or at least very much in the self-realized stage, right? At that time what's happening is, you still have somewhere hidden inside in the subtle body, some kind of demoniac vasana, asura vasana, that's called demoniac vasana. Because you can understand that our karana shariram has been created over a very long period of life. It is not possible to clean it up in a few years of sadhana in one's life. It's very thick inside, is it not? So it may take a long time to purify all these things, and eventually there may be a possibility that there could be some minor asura vasana inside still. And that asura vasana, because that of my, they are the demons, these minor asura vasanas. So even though you are in the stage of self-realization, these vasanas can come and take that nectar of self-realization away from us. So imagine how this long process goes on, right? So it, by now what happened? This person had some experience of some realizations already, right? He had some realizations. Because he has gone quite high and he has had some realizations. So it is at that time when he is going further, suddenly you will get trapped in the Mohini's beauty. Mohini's beauty, you can get trapped, right? So, but this experience of nectar, amrita anubhavam, or self-realization, that has to become firm inside, never to fall again from that. So what happens is, in this process of nectar, experiencing that nectar, two people, they come and interfere. One is the buddhi, other one is the mind. You are experiencing the self-realization, at the same time, now and then, buddhi will come and will change your progress. Put some spanner there. Buddhi will say to you, well, is this all bogus? Just a question is sufficient. Or somebody to tell you that in a negative way, that why you waste your time doing all this. Something like that is sufficient, right? Or somebody tell you that all this Bhagavatam is all just stories, isn't it? Somebody has written this story. Some kind of suspicion or doubt inside is sufficient. And this asura vasanas will push you into that direction. Or buddhi will take you in that direction and buddhi will create problem. Or sometimes the mind will create the problem. Mind will create the problem. So this buddhi and mind is the sun and the moon. Is the sun and the moon. Buddhi and the mind is the sun and the moon. Right? You remember in the Dakshinamurti Sotram, this was spoken already. We discussed, remember? That Rahu Grastha Divagarendu, that verse. Rahugrastha Divagarendu Sadrusho Mayasam Achadanal San Matra Karanova Samharanado Yobhul Sushupta Puman Pragaswapnamidi Prabhoda Samaye Ye Pratyabhijnayade Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. So Rahugrastha Divagarendu Sadrusho Mayasam Achadanal. One thing you can understand that buddhi is, who is Adhishtadra Devada for buddhi is the sun. Who is Adhishtadra Devada for the mind? Moon. Isn't it? Sun and moon are the predominating deities for the intelligence and the mind. Right? So, this mind and intelligence, it will be influenced by Rahu. Rahu is a demon which comes and influences both. So every now and then, that is this eclipse what that was talking about. Trying to understand this, that when Puranams put this self-realization process through story, people read the story and they started saying, how can it be true, Rahu and Kedu? And sun and the moon, they get eaten away by that during the eclipse. So that story has spread among the people. And people started questioning that. They did not understand the tattvam behind it. If you understood the tattvam, actually nothing is happening during the eclipse. It is neither Rahu coming or Kedu coming. But this Rahu Grastha Divakarendu Sadrusho, that is what it said. Mayasam achadanat. Maya, that is. It is Maya creating that feeling in us. Maya is putting the achadanam. Achadanam means coverage. Mayasam achadanat. Similarly, that our buddhi and the mind is affected by Rahu. And that is that this vasanas that is coming and affecting the intelligence and the mind, and we falling away from spiritual life at this stage of spiritual life is called the eclipse in the Jnana Margam. They call it like that. But till this firm establishment in knowledge happens, this eclipse will go on coming all the time. Eclipse will come. But as much as you go up and up in spiritual life further, in yoga sadhana, further if you go up, now and then you will feel some kind of inner experience in much deeper level. Sometimes you may feel that, but you will lose it again. It may not stay there forever. That means it will keep coming and going. It will keep coming and going. Sometimes you can experience this also to some extent in our own life, that sometimes you feel everything is good. In spiritually you feel happy with certain situations. You read Srimad Bhagavatam and then you start analyzing the life in your own way. Everybody has to do that. When you do that, you will start seeing this life in this world from a different angle. Normally we are completely absorbed in that, is it not? But occasionally, when you withdraw yourself from the world and read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge in that Vedic literatures, it does create a certain influence in us, and you will start looking at life from a different angle altogether. You start seeing, and certain times you feel that it is not necessary to worry about all these things to this extent, thinking about it, bothering about it, because it doesn't mean anything. That inner realization has to come. Till that time you will feel it's like you are carried away by the flow all the time. But some point in time you are able to pull out of that flow and look at the river flowing. Life is like a flow in this world. It is flowing all the time. We are carried away by the flow, is it not? So when we are able to withdraw ourselves from that some point in time and able to look at that from a completely independent position, that time you can see there that these what Shastram is saying is true. That it says there that it'll come, it'll go. It won't stay for very long. For some time it will stay. And then again we will be pulled back into the flow. Back into the flow. So, but it after this experience for a long period of time, it is after that finally you become properly settled there. Just like we are settled now in our material life, similarly we have to get settled in the spiritual life. Now we are settled here and a little bit of experience on the other side. But when you get settled there, then this experience eventually will disappear. Never to lose it again, that experience of the self. So it is at that time, when you come to that stage, at that time the only one thing you have to do is hand over everything, including yourself, to Krishna and surrender there. And that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, right after this, Mahabali has come. See? Why Mahabali has come? Mahabali went through all these things. The story is, there is a sequence there. Palari, that the churning of the milk ocean, Kurma Avadaram, Kurma's appearance, churning the milk ocean, nectar has come out, and how the nectar was stolen, and that by the demons, back and forth, all those things happened. Eventually, Mahabali lost everything. And finally, Mahabali worked hard. Shukracharya gave him all the facilities and he had a huge control over the demigods even, to that extent. Then he lost everything. Is it not? So, by now, if you read about Mahabali there, you will see a lot of things mentioned. Mahabali realized that Mahabali is more intelligent than Indra at that time. Some of the statements from Mahabali, if you read there. And the conversation with Mahabali and Vamanamurti together. If you study that very well, you will understand this. It is at that stage, Mahabali handed over everything to Krishna and surrendered to him, to Vamanamurti. Is it not? So that is what it is saying here. That is why, that immediately after this, as the next story, Bhagavatam begins about Mahabali for this reason, right? Because when that realization is complete inside, Amrutanubhavam, that self-realization experience is complete inside, Just like Mahabali has done, one should completely surrender to Krishna. Completely surrender to Krishna. And only that person who completely surrenders to Krishna, he alone will have the complete experience of self-realization. That is what that that story is teaching us. Only that person who, when finally completely surrenders to Krishna, he alone will experience total self-realization. So, in this way, this story of churning the milk ocean, it's tattvam side. The tattvam side of churning the milk ocean. Now, when we speak the tattvam and we speak the story, two things side by side, right? When we speak tattvam and when we speak the stories, everything may not be 100% compatible with the tattvam. In such instances, tattvam is accepted properly, 100%. Whatever deficiency or whatever shortcomings in the story is there, that is ignored. That is spiritual life. What we are trying to do is to make people understand the tattvam. That is the purpose behind it. So, in the process of explaining the tattvam, if the story does not completely give you every explanation to every doubt that's coming to your mind, you should only ignore the story, not the tattvam. That is the principle behind that. So, we'll say one or two things more about that. That this, we call it as milk ocean, isn't it? Ocean of milk, which was churned. Why is it called an ocean of milk? Ocean of milk means full of satugunam. A subtle body which is full of satugunam. When satugunam is full in the subtle body, it is called a milk ocean. And that's what you are churning, right? And all kinds of, when the satugunam is present in that ocean, all kinds of opulences are lying inside. And that's what we are churning. And in order to churn that, what requires is truthfulness, non-violence, brahmacharyam, and all other sattvika dharma, sattvika activities, sattvagunam activities, right? And that sattvika dharma, what we perform, they are the demigods, devadas. They are the demigods. And ragam, dvesham, madam, malsaram, kamam, krodham, all that, they are the, which are dharmam of rajogunam and tamogunam. So you can see all the qualities, they are connected with one of the gunam, isn't it? One of the modes of nature. Sattugunam has certain qualities, rajogunam and tamogunam has some different qualities. So when we have sattugunam inside, then accordingly those gunams, those qualities will come in a person, which means truthfulness, compassion, kindness, simplicity, truthfulness, and free from violence, peacefulness. All are nature of a person in sattugunam. Such a dharmam will come in a person automatically. For person who has rajogunam or dharmogunam inside, they will have ragam, dvesham, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, all these kinds. These are all product of the dharmam, product of the gunam that is inside, right? And so asura gunam, asura's vasanas are all those things, right? And what is their speciality? They will be always competing each other. Always competing each other. So because they are all thinking that the heart, which is the heaven, they want to have it under their control. Heart is the heaven they're talking about. Our heart thing. Mind, you can say that one part. They want to have their control. So when the demigods are present, that means the mode of goodness is strong and those qualities are strong. At that time, our heart goes under their control. If not, when the demons are controlled, our heart goes under their control. When the demons are powerful, right? But generally it is assumed that the heart is under the control of the demigods, normally, right? But many times it can happen, it may not be under their control. So the rule is like this. The heart should be filled with the Sattvagunam and Sattvika Dharma, which is truthfulness and simplicity, compassion, kindness, and renunciation, knowledge. These are all Sattvagunam's character. That's why Krishna talks about that in the Bhagavad Gita separately, very clearly, what Sattvaguna means, what Rajoguna means, what Tamoguna means. So Sattvagunam is present, those dharmam of Sattvagunam will come up in a person, right? So sometimes it can happen that those gunam may not come up in our mind. For example, you can see here that demigods became weak when they were cursed by Durvasav, isn't it? So when they were cursed by Durvasav, they got into trouble. So they lost their position. And what that means is, when you lose your steadiness in spiritual life, Brahmanishtha, it's called, Brahmanishtha. When that Brahmanishtha goes away, that means, Nishtha means, you know what that means, Nishtha means steadiness. That we are always very much wavering, isn't it? Whether we go 6 months or so, we are okay. Then other 6 months, we are in a hazy situation. Sometimes mind goes in some direction. So a wavering nature in us, that is not helpful. Because when that wavering nature comes, you can see that we lose our sattvya dharmam and we come to what is called pragridam. Pragridam means very, materialistic influence in us all the time. Our way of thinking, our way of doing things, everything very much on a materialistic level. That spiritual nature changes in a person, right? So, in order to come out of from that, all you have to do is again churn that subtle body, churn the mind inside. And this, to churn Mandara Mountain is required, and that is the Prarabdham. Prarabdham is for that purpose, to churn this inside. Because Prarabdham teaches you a lot of good things. If you properly learn to look at the Prarabdham, then Prarabdham make you realize something. Otherwise, what realization would you have? Only through Prarabdham we learn things. And whatever you have got through Prarabdham, it will stay. Because it will be a very solid experience in life. Right? And at that time, that buddhi has to be like the Vasuki. Vasuki you are using and churning the rope, isn't it? Similarly, our intelligence, even in that situation, when the Prarabdham is operating, if you have learned how to use the rope to churn, that means inside you should have that nature, that come what may in our life, I'll still stick to Krishna consciousness. And keep churning, right? So, at that time, that's where the churning starts. All kinds of auspicious things will start coming up from inside, right? Finally, the nectar. So, initially, as I said before, the first thing what you will receive is poison. Because it's a lot of poison inside. So that's why poison comes out. It's on the top of everything. Like when you make the cake, there is on the top that... That'll come out first, isn't it? And you can see when you eat the cake, you want to have that first. That is our sense enjoyment in that, in there, isn't it? So, and that poison that comes out is also responsible for many problems later. It can cause a lot of problems, isn't it? So it is at that time everything should be offered to Krishna. And only then you will have the strength to continue the churning further. And later on, different divine things will come out from that. You mentioned about Ashta Aishwarya Siddhis, then good health, long lifespan, and tremendous happiness inside. All this is a part of that. But without getting trapped or attracted by any of those things, one has to continue his surrender process to Krishna and continue with the spiritual life. If he goes like that, ultimately he will get self-realization, will come to him. And the result of that is that he has once for all escaped from old age and death and he has got proper knowledge inside. But even at that stage, you have to be frightened about the demons, right? Because they'll come and try to snatch the nectar. You got the nectar with you, like the demigods had the nectar. But the demons will come and snatch it away from you. And that means, even after self-realization, knowledge has come, still, at the very end, till the very end, this possibility is still there. Which one? Ragam, dvesham can come, develop in the heart, right? So, this lesson is important. Why? Suppose a lot of realization has come to one person, right? Knowledge of the self, and he is experiencing the knowledge of the self and realization. Sometimes, mind has a nature. What is that? Mind is a thing which can make you very emotional. Vaikariyam. Vikaram will develop inside, right? So, a jiva who has advanced in spiritual life and is enjoying that happiness of self-realization, it is likelihood that sometimes emotions will come and overpower everything. Emotions will come and take over the mind, right? So, you can see here that this Mohini's appearance is that Vishnu took that Mohini form, and these demons, they are intelligent people, they are not stupid, right? They are intelligent. But did you see, with all their intelligence, they planned everything, they got the nectar. They got the nectar in the hand. But what happened? Emotions took control. They were carried away by the emotions, isn't it? So the very demons who were responsible for cooperating with the demigods and churning and producing the nectar, and they got it. And they got it. Because they snatched and they got it with them. But they couldn't benefit from that. Enjoy it. Why? Emotions took away. Attracted by Mohini. Mohini knew this. This vikaram or emotions is something that affects the mind. We become very emotional. And this emotion's nature is like this, that it will won't allow to see things in a proper way. Able to see things in a proper way. So the very subtle body, chittam, which has become the cause of realizing the self, has now got trapped in emotions. And with that process, you lost the nectar. You lost the nectar. So at that point also, one has to be extremely careful. And these are the secrets of spiritual life spoken through the churning of the milk ocean in that story. In that story. So, what does happens next thing? Next thing is, Lord Shiva wants to see this Mohini form. Krishna's Mohini form, isn't it? So, you know, once in a realized state, male, female, human form, animal form, these things are only with reference to the body. They have no meaning as far as the self is concerned, is it not? It's all based on the body. It neither belongs to Jiva nor belongs to Atma. Neither belongs to Jiva nor to Atma. So, if the body itself is a solid form of our sankalpam in the mind. Body is a solid form, isn't it? It's a solid form that is of our sankalpam inside the mind. If it is like that, once we understand that the body is nothing but a solid manifestation of our sankalpam in our mind, right? So if it is like that, then then all the variegatedness you find in the body, human body, animal body, male body, female body, all of them is nothing but another sankalpam. Is it not? Try to think that way. That this body is nothing but a product of the mind. From thoughts in the mind, it's developed in the solid form and it took this gross form. If it is like that, that means the source of this body is the sankalpam in the mind. Yes? So, this sankalpam is the cause of this body. Then the variations in this body, what you find in the form of male body, female body, animal body, plant body, and all other kinds of different kinds of bodies, are they not also the product of the sankalpam inside? That means sankalpam is the sankalpam means that what you have, the thoughts, what you have developed inside, resolve, what you have inside, accordingly the body came. So the root of the body is inside the mind, inside the mind. So that is why when you see a particular form, you start feeling, oh, it's a very beautiful form, and or it is very attractive, all these kind of thoughts. And Mahavishnu says all these things in that. So this Mohini form is based on the sankalpam inside. Sankalpa Vishesham it is called. According to the sankalpam, Lord Shiva sankalpam at that moment, Mohini is very beautiful. And accordingly he came, and to prove it to us, that form is also not permanent, right? Temporarily, it has created some emotions inside a person. That's all. Mohini's form also, temporarily, it is not a permanent thing. Temporarily, it has created some emotions among the demons when they saw her. And similarly, it has created some emotions in Lord Shiva's mind. We'll come to that later, why Lord Shiva's case is special. So, what we have to understand there is that we mentioned before, instead of that rational way of thinking, not having sufficient knowledge inside, Asuras didn't have that knowledge. Therefore, whatever knowledge they had, it was taken away by emotions. Emotion took control of the mind. And therefore, they left everything. They left the nectar and ran after Mohini. That's what happened to them. All these stories are to look inwards and to see what's happening within us, how things are affecting ourselves in our own life. This is the proper understanding. Otherwise, this churning the milk question and all happened many, many millions of years ago. That does not mean the stories are wrong. Stories are there. But from these stories, Vedavyasa is pointing out to us that look into your own life and see how things go with ourselves, right? So, it is at that time, if you start suddenly feeling that form is very beautiful, that means, what that means is emotions have taken control of your mind. Control of mind. And it also showed us that emotions taking over is dangerous inside. But still Lord Shiva insisted, I must see the form. Sri Parvati is there, and Ganesh is there, Kartikeya, they're all there, the family members. And and still he wanted to see that. So Mahavishnu finally appeared in the form of Mohini, told Lord Shiva to wait there, and then suddenly when he looked, he saw Mahavishnu there in the Mohini's form there, right? So, and in a sudden moment, suddenly Krishna changed that Vaishnava form, Mahavishnu's form, Vaishnava Sarupam, and turned himself to be a very beautiful, attractive woman form, Mohini form, right? And when Lord Shiva saw that, Shiva was affected. So, what has happened there is, and ran after Mohini, is it not? So, you can see here that the moment we fall, what can happen in life? Anything can happen. Anything can happen. That personality like Lord Shiva, even if he is affected like this by emotions above the knowledge, he is a realized soul. And he is in a very highly realized state. But when emotions took over, realization is gone. emotion started controlling the mind instead of the realizations. So as long as we have even the slightest trace of bodily identification, there is a possibility of the mind becomes emotional. That is the rule. So long as you have the very slightest trace of bodily identification, the mind can become emotional. Mind can become emotional. That is what it is pointing out to us. So once the mind has become emotional, then from that mind, all kinds of desires can come, all kinds of sankalpam can come from that. And if one does not have properly established in the truth, he can get victimized by that. What can happen? That means you are in trouble after that. But why they have brought Lord Shiva into this? This is another important question. Reason is this, that personality, Lord Shiva, that suddenly you can see when he got attracted to Mohini and was chasing Mohini, suddenly a knowledge came in from inside and brought that proper discrimination inside. And that's only possible for great personalities able to do that. And able to control his mind straight away and start seeing that emotions have taken over instead of knowledge. That realization has come back to him straight away. It didn't take very long for Shiva. For ordinary people, it's not possible. For ordinary people, it's not possible. You know how that happens, isn't it? We are ordinary people, but even in this world, sometimes you will see very advanced people whom a lot of other people are following them and taking instructions from them. Even they fall sometimes. Even they fall sometimes. The specific reason why Lord Shiva is mentioned there is, he is the highest personality among those who are in knowledge. He is the head of all the Jnana Margam, isn't it? So a person who is so established in knowledge, even he can become emotional and become victimized by that. So what to talk about ordinary people? To stress this point, that even at the highest realization, emotions can come in and influence realization and drag you down. That is what that story is about. The churning of the milk ocean, Lord Shiva seeing the Mohini, getting attracted by that, chasing the Mohini, and eventually knowledge coming back and taking over again. And then Lord Shiva withdraws from that, the whole scene, isn't it? So that's where that finishes. So now what we'll do is that after this story, we all know, everybody knows the story, isn't it? So after this, demigods got the nectar. They have taken the nectar. Mohini gave them the nectar. And then they got strength back. They went and started fighting with the demons, right? And in the battle, they defeated the demons, right? So Mahabali was there, Indra was there. There's a conversation between Indra and Mahabali. Indra abused Mahabali heavily after that. So many times Mahabali has defeated Indra. And Indra knows that he has been beaten many times. So Indra abused him a lot. And then he says to him that, Indra says to Mahabali, you think that you are a very learned person, aren't you? And you are very powerful. This is all, you are just dressing up in front of me, trying to impress me. And all you have become, you have been successful in the past because you knew a lot of, you had a lot of siddhis in you, and you also had certain magic. You knew how to create maya and control me. And and he also told him that, I'm going to kill you, he said. But this time, Indra is very strong because he had the nectar inside him. So Mahabali, when Indra abused Mahabali, Mahabali was very peaceful. And he spoke to Indra in a very nice way. Very nice. What did he say? Indra says, he says to him, Indra, that you know, do you know the rule of this life? What happens in this life? Do you know the rule behind that? He said, that this life itself is called Sangrama. That's the word used in the Bhagavad. Sangrama means Kala Chodita Karmanam. It says that according to karma we come here. Whatever karma. That's why it is based on karma we get birth in a particular place, in a particular family, with a few members around you, family members around you. We didn't know them before. Suddenly one day we appeared in that home with, and everybody started calling you, oh my son, oh my daughter, my brother, my sister. It's all started after that. Before that we didn't know them. Nobody knew each other, isn't it? So, Mahabali is saying this to Indra. That's the interesting thing. That's why, Kala Chodita Karmanam. Karmam, which is prompted by Kalam, time, this is happening. And Kalam is playing with each one of us in this way. In this way. And in that process, sometimes you will win, sometimes you will lose, isn't it? And sometimes you'll become very famous. Sometimes everyone will put you down. So, success, failure, fame, all these things is a part of this game that the time is playing with each jiva. Nothing more to it than that. We make a big issue out of all these things, isn't it? But actually what is the reality? Reality is this, every one of us have come according to our karma. Karma has thrown us into one family or one place, we were born, and accordingly we are living with them, and whatever the life is throwing at us, we are taking it. In that process, the time is playing with our karma, and accordingly we are drawn through this world. We are going along with it. In that process, sometimes somebody becomes very famous, or somebody becomes very successful, or somebody fails totally. This is all a part of the kalam and karma. Kala karma chodidam, he says. This sangramam, this combination has happened. So, therefore, when you become famous in this situation, you shouldn't feel extremely happy and proud about this. Mahabali is saying this to Indra. And similarly, when you feel defeated, you don't have to feel very concerned about it either, because also it doesn't mean anything. So, if you look at the 8th canto, what does it say? Mahabali says there, 11th chapter, in the 8th verse, he says, Mahabali says this, first verse, 7th verse, you see, Samgrame vartamananam kala chodita karmana. Mahabali is advised to Indra. Mahabali is advising to Indra. Yeah? Because this Mahabali is coming as Indra in the next Manu's time. So, even he knows this very well, that this is how it's all going to be. One day he is Indra, another day is Mahabali. And this Indra can become Mahabali, Mahabali can become an Indra. That is how this life is, isn't it? So, Samgrame vartamananam kala chodita karmanam kirti jayo ajayo mrityu sarve shamsyu anukramad. He's saying that that karmam is controlling, kalam is controlling everybody. And in that process, that success and failure and fame and death and all this, it comes in an order, one after the other. There is no doubt about that, he said. Then he says, 8th verse, tadidam kala rashanam jana pashyanti suraya na hikshyanti na shojanti tatra yoyam apanditaha. 8th verse, 11th chapter, 8, 11, 8. He says that knowledge, people in knowledge, they know that the world is under influence of time. It's only time that is changing everything here. And therefore when success or failure comes in life, they don't take it as a big thing. They accept that it is a result of the effect of time and karma. Effect of time and karma. So, so kalam, time, is playing with all of us in that way. People who are in knowledge, they see that thread of time. So therefore, na hrishyanti, na shochanti. They don't feel happy or they don't feel distressed about it. That means when good things happen in life, they are not feeling particularly affected by that, the happiness. Or when the distress is coming in life, they also know that is not to be taken very seriously. So that's why he's saying here, Tatra Yuyam Apandidaha. And he says to him that Navayam Manyamananam Alpanam Tatra Sadhanam Girova Sadhu Shochyanam Grihni Mo Marma Tadanaha. Marma Tadanaha. And in this subject, Mahabali is saying to them, you demigods are mandugam. Manduga means frogs. Kupa manduga. Ignorant people you are, he says. Indra felt very unhappy when Mahabali fired him like this. So, why is he unhappy? Asura is advising him. That's what hurting him. Indra is getting hurt. Asura, demon is coming and giving you advice. That's what happened. So, so Indra thought everybody is coming and giving me advice, he said. Mahabali is saying to him, you people don't know this, how it works, he said. You don't have the knowledge properly. And we have that knowledge because of the mercy of our teacher, Shukracharya, has taught us all these things. Therefore, now, in that battle, when they lost, the battle they lost, isn't it? Mahabali lost. Everybody was killed. Then they were given life back by Shukracharya. Some of them were given life back. Some of them died. So, and after this, there is a, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there, Shuka Brahmarshi talks about Mahabali, how intelligent he is. He says, Loka Tattva Vijakshana, he says. Look at the last verse, 48, in 11th chapter. Belino, Belishchos and Ushanasas Prishta, Pratyabandh Indriya Smriti, Parajidobi, Nakhidya, Loka Tattva Vijakshana. That is Mahabali's strength. What he's saying here is that, Mahabali was killed, but Shukracharya brought him back to life again. Because Shukracharya had this Mrita Sanjeevani Vidya to bring people back to life again, even though they were killed. So, due to his Shukracharya's help, he got back his strength, and he got back his memory, everything, and came back to consciousness. And even though the demons lost, even though they were cheated, they have lost everything, the demigods knocked the nectar. Normally you would have thought they will be very depressed, wouldn't they? Mahabali and his men. Mahabali was not upset. See the word used there? Parajidobi. Even though he failed, he lost it. But Nakhidya, he was not upset. Why? Loka Tattva Vijakshana. This Loka Tattva Vijakshana. Loka Tattva Vijakshana means that what he was saying before, that Kalam and Karmam is doing its game here. Why should I be disturbed? This nature, not to get affected by the success and failure of this world. That's called Loka Tattva Vijakshana. Loka Tattva Vijakshana means that expert in dealing with the world. That is the proper way to deal with the world. And Mahabali had that capacity. You can see from that, Mahabali learned the lesson, knows this very well. That is why he knew, if I have to beat Indra again, I'm going to do some things. And then he pulled all his strength, started worshipping Brahmanas, the Vedic cows and the Brahmanas and temple worship, everything, yagam, sacrifices. He started strictly according to Shukracharya's instructions. And finally what happened? Mahabali won later. To show to us that Mahabali is a personality in the Bhagavadam, that he was Indra was always attached to his position. He couldn't act like Mahabali. Mahabali was so independent that in spite of all the opulence and happiness came to him in his life, Mahabali was least affected by all that. That was his greatness, Mahabali's greatness. That's what it is saying here also. So, Mahabali says to them that Vamanavadaram happens at that time. Vamanavadaram happens at
that time. So we will see that Vamanavataram story in the Narayaniyam. I'll just read through that and then we will just talk about Vamanavataram. Chapter 30.
Shakrena samyadi hato vibalir mahalma Shukrena jivida tanyu kraduvardhi doshma Vikrandi man bhaya nilina suram trilokim Chakrevashe satava chakramukhada bhida Putrarti darshanavashada didirvishana Tam kashyavam nijabadim sharanam prabhanna Tulpujanam tadudidam hipayo vradakhyam Sadvadasha mahacharal tvai bhakti purna Tasyavadhau tvai nilina madera mushyam Shyama chadurbujavabu swayam avirasil Namram jadamiha bhavattaneyo bhaveyam Gopyam madikshanamidi pralavannayasi Tam kashyabetabalisi sannithadal tadanim Praptosi garbha madide pranado vidhatra Prasudaja prakada vaishnavadi vyarubam Sadvadashi shravana punyadine bhavandam Punyashramam tamabhi varshadi pushpa varshair harsha gule suragule Kritaduriya khoshe Badhvanjanim jaya jayedi nradapidrabhyam Tvam talchane padudamam vadirubamatham Taval prajabadi mukhai Ubaniya maunji danda jina chavalayad mirarchavana Bede dipyamana maburi shakrata agnigaryastvam prastito beligraham prakrata ashwamedham Gatrena bhavi mahamo chida gauravam prag Vyavruna devadharanim chalayannayasi Chatram paroshmadiranatham ivadadano dandamja Danavajane shiva sannidhadum Tam narmado taradade hayameda shala Mase dushi tvair jata varuddhane traihi Bhaswan kimesha dehano nyusanal kumaro Yogin goyamidi shukramukhai shashange Anidama shubhargabir mahasabibhudai Swam ramyarubam asuram pulakavradanga Bhaktya sametya sugrdi parinijyavado tatto yamanvadhrada Murdhani tirtha tirtham Prahladavam shajadaya krithubirdujeshu Vishwasato nutadidam didijo bilebhem Yelte padambu girishasya shiro bhilalyam sattvam vibho Guru viralaya palayetaha That is Vamanavataram story, and there that the demigods have devas have defeated the asuras, and after that first thing they will defeat all the asuras. When they defeated the asuras, these demigods, what they did, they will celebrate big way, we have defeated them, right? And when the demigods are celebrating, the demons will come who are left behind, who are not killed yet. They'll bring their stretcher and put all the demons in the stretcher and take them away from there, right? Who are dead, they are taken in the stretcher. And after some time, who are taken in the stretcher away, they'll all come back walking to fight again. Why? Shukracharya knew what to do with them. He was such a powerful person, Shukracharya, isn't it? So, Shukracharya found out that how to bring them back into life, that Mrita Sanjeevani Vidya, he knew about that, right? So, he will look at their body, and if their body is not broken into pieces or anything, if they are all more or less the ones which are in a reasonable shape, he will send them back to life again. Light again. So, Shukrena jividadanum, Shakrena, what says there, you see? Shukracharya gave them the life, it says. Shukrena jividadanum. First verse itself. Shakrena samyadi hado bi balir mahalma, Shukrena jividadanu kradavardhi doshma. Shukracharya gave them the life. So normally you see, Suppose when we go, we are very tired, right? We go to sleep. And when you wake up after a good sleep, you feel some strength in the body, isn't it? So, if it is like that, from normal sleep itself, we are getting so much strength. Imagine when you are dead and you are coming back from the death, how strong you could be, right? So, here, demigods were shocked. All those whom they thought they have killed are all coming back to fight again. So, they were saying that. And some of them were killed 2-3 times and they are all back again to fight. Mahabali understood one thing. Mahabali says there, Alma doesn't die, only body dies. Alma is saying, he's saying to them, all of them, to his friends, he says, don't worry about it. He says, you'll get another body. You do not worry about it, he said, about death. Because you cannot die. Mahabali was convinced on that. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mahabali proved that to the world, it is true. That although they were dying, Alma has no death, no birth. It is another sleep. Another sleep. So, they were not even frightened of death, in other words, these demons, right? So, everything is like that in life, isn't it? If you got used to it a few times, then the fear will go. Suppose you see a lot of death, then death is not anymore frightening. But you have never seen any death, and suddenly when somebody dies one day, then you start thinking about it. Oh, why he died? How did this happen? We make all investigation then, isn't it? But suppose people are dying all the time and you're constantly witnessing that. That's also part of life. You'll accept it that way. You won't be too concerned about that, isn't it? So, distress is also like that in life. If you get a lot of distress constantly coming in life, then you won't be fearful anymore. You'll say, it's so many things have happened, another one has come, what's the matter? You'll accept it that way. So, just like if you are in the water, if the water goes above your head, 5 feet or 10 feet, it doesn't make any difference. Is it not? Whether 5 feet your water is above your head or 10 feet above your head, it makes no difference. Everything is the same. Similarly, many times if you die, then you'll start feeling that death is also not a serious thing. So, when they were coming for to the fight, Indra started realizing, I can't fight this battle because I'm trying to kill them. They never get killed. They're all back again afterwards, isn't it? And at that time, when he looked at Mahabali, Indra looked at Mahabali, Indra started getting a bit fearful of Mahabali at that time. So Indra at that time decided, why is this happening? That we have got the nectar, we have beat them in the battlefield, still this is the result. We have not won the war yet. So he goes to Brihaspati, his guru, and speaks to her. So, I'm feeling frightened when I'm seeing Mahabali, he says. I feel frightened when I see Mahabali, he said. And why is he so strong? Why is he creating so much fear in me? He said. What is the secret? Who said this? Indra says to his guru, what is the secret behind this? Every time I kill them, they are all coming back. And Mahabali seems to be quite happy and bold in fighting with me. I am feeling frightened about Mahabali. Even though we had the nectar, they didn't have the nectar. What is the secret behind that? What did Brihaspati say to him? Janami. I know, he said. Janami. So he told him, so Indra says to him, you know that, don't you? And then you're not telling me what that is. He's firing his guru. Indra fighting with his guru, saying to him, you know the thing, but you're not telling me anything. What kind of guru are you? He's saying to him. That. So, Brihaspati said, I know what Mahabali is doing. Brihaspati says, right? He has developed a new technology that he can bring people back to life who are killed. He has got the technology. We don't have it, he said. They have got it. The technology, he said. So, and if you put the band into that machine, they will wake up again and come back to life. You'll see that in the 15th chapter. Look at Bhagavatam. 15th chapter, what he says about that. Guru Ruvacha, he says, Janami, Brihaspati is saying,
Janami Mahavat Chatro Runa Redasya Karan Terasya Karanam Shishayo Abhavrudam Tejo Brigabur Brahma Vadivi. He says this Mahabali Shukracharya and all the other rishis, they have created the strength for Mahabali. Brahma Tejasa. They have created that for Mahabali, that is what it is. So Indra says to Brihaspati, haven't I got a guru? What is he doing? He's saying to his own guru, he says, haven't I got a guru? What is he doing? He says to him, what kind of guru are you? He says, what is the reason? So, I know one thing, Brihaspati, they have got a guru, and that guru is doing this whole thing. It is behind that. And whoever is killed, he is giving them life back and sending them here. And that is what it is happening. So, you will see in the verse 28, he says, Shishayo abhavrudam tejo brigubur brahmavadibi. Shukracharya is Brahmavadi. He is Brahmavadi, right? And they are not only giving Mahabali ordinary power. What else are they giving? Spiritual knowledge. Brahma Tattvam was given to them. And if somebody is given Brahma Tattvam, Brahman knowledge, Brahman realization, what is the speciality with that? Once someone has Brahman realization, the advantage is he will never have false ego anymore. Ahangaram will go completely. Once ahangaram goes, what happens? There will be no kartrutvam, no bhortrutvam. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer will go. And because kartrutvam, bhortrutvam is not there, I am doing this, I should have the result, this won't be there. Practically what means is, jiva bhavam has gone, ahangaram has gone from inside. That means he has come to the realization, only Brahman is present here, and therefore, that is what you are finding in Mahabali now. Mahabali was given spiritual knowledge by Shukracharya, and it has worked, because Mahabali is not frightened anymore. When do you feel fear? When you know you are going to die, or when you are going to take birth. All these kind of things, all related with the body. But self-realized person, neither lament for the living nor for the dead. Mahabali's situation is like that. So, therefore, Brahmajnanam was given to him. It is the result of that. And that is what you are finding in Mahabali's face now. Why he is so joyful and blissful like this. So, and that is the reason you are feeling frightened when you see Mahabali. Brihaspati said this to Indra. So, then Indra says, what's the use of having a guru like this in front of me? Brihaspati says that in reality, me and Shukracharya, we are one and the same. We are not different. But you and Mahabali are not one. That's how he advised. Me and Shukracharya are one because we both have the same knowledge. But you and Mahabali have two different understandings. Right? So, Mahabali won't stand like this and speak to his guru like this. But, and he won't ask his guru why it has happened like this. Whereas, I can see your mind, mentality, how it works. Your attitude to me is that you are paying me and you are keeping me on your employment. That's the way you are talking about me, said to Indra. Brihaspati said like that. Mahabali, on the other hand, Mahabali goes to Shukracharya. If you read those chapters, you will find all these things in the Bhagavadam. Mahabali's approach to Shukracharya, Indra's approach to Brihaspati, completely different. Indra goes and does all the blunders, one after the other. So, he says to Indra, that you go, look at Mahabali, he goes to Shukracharya with humility, and receives the instructions properly and takes it seriously. On the other hand, from your side, you come to me challenging me first. And then you treat me like, so I'm your employee here. Right? So, if you have no respect for your teacher or
What's the point in me giving you instructions? He said, it's not going to work. But still, Indra was looking a little bit, didn't know what to say at that point. Said, Braspati told Indra, I'll tell you something what you can do. So Indra stood there with a little bit of humility, was standing there. That only thing you can do, change your dress. Change your dress. To change your dress, right? Don't live like opulent demigod's life here and leave this place and run away from here. That's the only solution I have, he said. And that's why the Narayani will see that second verse. Putrarthi darshanavashal adidir vishanaha tam kashyapam nichapadim sharanam prabannaha twal pujanam tad udidam hi payovradakyam sa dvadashahamacharal twai bhakti purna. So it is at that time that the demigods have conditions have gone really bad. Nobody could do anything about it. Braspati has not given them the spiritual realization, like the way Shukracharya has given to the Mahabali and the demons, right? So what happened now is that demigods were told by Braspati, change your dress and leave this place if you don't want to be attacked by Mahabali. So he had to accept that. He had no choice. Their mother, demigod's mother, Aditi Devi, she was in distress, seeing the condition of her children. So, Aditi felt very depressed, seeing the condition of Indra. And Aditi thought, when the children are in trouble, who feels the maximum mother? So, somehow or the other, I have to help my children. She thought, there's only one way. What is that? To tell the husband to help. So she goes to Kashyapa Prajapati and says to Kashyapa Prajapati, he's a great personality, is it not? And is this Kashyapa Prajapati is a very special husband. In what sense? Kashyapa, the word itself is that one who has no interest in anything. That kind of person. One who has no interest in anything. So, udasin, that means indifferent to everything. If you ask a question, should a householder be like that, not showing any interest in anything? He said, the answer is, if you stay like him, you won't trouble, you won't be in struggle in spiritual householder life. If you stay like that. Otherwise, you will struggle a lot in family life. If you stay like Kashyapa Prajapati, you won't suffer. You can get through the householder life. But if you become too attached to everything, what's happening, and trying to solve every problem in householder life, you'll find at the end you're not getting anywhere. That situation will happen. So you can see here, this poor Kashyapa Prajapati had two wives, Aditi Devi and Didi Devi. So Aditi's children are all demigods, and Didi's children are all the demons, right? Demons. So, can you imagine in one house, you have two different kind of people? There will be war constantly going on there, isn't it? So, normally, don't forget about, here there are two wives, Aditi and Didi. Suppose you have one wife, and you have two children from them, from that wife. And if these two children have two different nature, what will happen in that house? There will be fight. There will be problem, isn't it? So you can imagine that even if two children born from one mother itself, if they are different nature, there will be problems, right? So if it is like that, imagine when you have two wives, and children born from both of them are two different nature. So, all the time fighting goes on. So, and imagine Kashyapa Prajapati is the head. What will be his situation?
he has to always make sure. If he gets attached there, he will be in trouble. So he is very sensible, Kashyapa Prajapati. So what did he do? He kept out of the whole picture. Let them fight. Let them do what they want, he said. So both of them, when they start fighting, Kashyapa Prajapati will sit there and watch them like a cricket match. That's what he did in his householder life. That's how he managed his householder life, because he knew otherwise he will go crazy if he gets involved in that. So he just sat there and let them fight, he said. Let the cricket match continue till it's over, he said. And he used to watch that very happily and keep quiet about them. So the word Kashyapa itself is Pashyakaha Kashyapaha. One who can see things and learn from that. That capacity Kashyapa Prajapati had. Otherwise he would have gone crazy before with these two lot, one after the other. It has driven his life completely mad. Lot of people get crazy like that, isn't it? We'll continue after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanama janam bhavamahada vagni nirvavanam shreyakaidava jandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budhivardhanam pradipada purnamrita swadanam sarvapna subhanam varam vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam namna magari bahuda sarvashakti ർപ്പിതാനിമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാല ഏദാദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാവീദൃശംഹാജനിതാനുരാഗാഹം തൃണാരവിശുനീചേനാം തനോരഭി സഹിഷ്ണുനാ അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി നധനം ന ജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരേ ഭവദാദ് ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഃഖി ത്വയി ഐ നന്ദനൂജകിങ്കരം പതിതാമം ശമേ ഭവാംബുധ കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജസ്ഥിതധൂളീ സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ നയനം ഗളദശ്രുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുളകൈർനിചിതം കഥാ വഭോ തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായിദം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിദം ശൂന്യായിദം ജഗൽസർവം ഗോവിന്ദവരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം ഭിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം അർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദദാതു ലംബന മൽപ്രാണനാഥാ സുനയേവ നാഭര സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ
പശ്യകഹ കശ്യപ പശ്യകഹ കശ്യപ വേദം സേയ്സ് അബൌട്ട് ഹിം അബൌട്ട് കശ്യപ പ്രജാപതി വേദം ഈ സേയ്സ് പശ്യക പശ്യക മീൻസ് വൺ ഹൂ ലുക്സ് അറ്റ് തിങ്സ് ബട്ട് ഡോണ്ട് ഗെറ്റ് ഇൻവോൾവ് ഇൻ എനിത്തിങ് ഹി ഈസ് കോൾഡ് പശ്യക. He is seeing things, but he won't get involved in anything. Right? It is at that time, Aditi Devi comes and says to him that all my children are getting beaten by Didi's children, Asuras. They're coming and beating up my children. Do something so that my children will win. My children will win. Kashyapa Prajapati says, that can be done. Tathastu. Says Tathastu. So, when she, Aditi Devi says this, after she has gone, Didi Devi comes and says to Kashyapa Prajapati that these Aditi's children are giving trouble to my children. Do something about that. Give us some, help me, he says. Kashyapa Prajapati says, Tathastu. So, won't interfere in anything. Keep both of them in the same situation. So, he will look at them but won't do anything. He will say, I'll do, but he won't do anything. So, his point was, I can't do anything with both of them. Neither of them, he said. So, let them fight, kill, or beat up each other, whatever they want to do.
Best thing is that I keep looking at them. Don't get involved. This is the solution. He came up with this solution. If we look into the 7th canto, Sri Narada Maharshi will mention this. Grahastashrama Dharmam, if you study that. Very important to know for householders. Brahmachari and sannyasi won't be interested. It's a householder who will have all these problems. So that's why it said. Look at the 7th canto. There, he's saying here that Grahastha Dharmam, which is the 7th canto, 13, 14, all those chapters. If you look at that, that is the Grahastha Dharmam. There he will say, how Yudhishthira asked him, how should a householder live in this world? How should one householder live in this world? Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira, he should be like a guest at home. That's the answer. He should be like a guest at home. What's the speciality with a guest? Guest won't show any interest how you are paying your bills and all. He is not bothered. He just come, accept your hospitality, and then he goes away. Isn't it? Similarly, one should live in this world. And that says there, it's a bit difficult thing, but it has to be taken this way only. That's no other alternative to that. Suppose in the house there are so many other family members. They will all be very strong-minded, some of them. Some of them, everyone will have their own strong opinion about various things. And whatever they say, you say, yes, it is like that. You do not agree with that. It's okay with you. You accept that, right? So, just like if you have a lot of relatives, they are at home, you're all together. Mutually, they will criticize. They will criticize you, or they will complain about you, that you have not acted properly, you have not done this, you have not done that, all these things. In all those situations, you should agree with them in the head, never open the mouth. You just accept everything you say is right, but I'm not saying anything. That's the best approach. Because you don't know in household life when the children grow up and all that. They all become strong persons in their own right and their youthful nature. And they would have gone to college and got all degrees and all kind of things. And college would have groomed them in a particular way. They would be scientists, some of them. Some of them will turn out to be very scientifically minded. And they would have got certain ideas stick into their head about life in this world. They'll start thinking that that this is the way the world should be run. Some of them may turn into one different kind of philosophy or whatever. That happens. So everyone becomes very strong-minded and they will express that, and if you don't agree with that, it will develop into big arguments and things like that, right? So instead of confrontation, the best thing is you agree with everything but don't open the mouth about anything, right? So whatever they say, you should shake the head. Agreed, he said. You know there is it used to be there, there's a form of a businessman, it's sold like a toy, it will always shake its head like this. You'll see in the shops they used to keep like this, don't see it so much now. So, so sometimes people will tell you, oh, such and such a person has told me about you like this, something. Even also you say, yes, that's okay. Accept it like that. So, practically what it means is, you should not allow any of those things to get inside. If they get inside, you will have trouble. So, Kashyapa was a person like that. He wouldn't allow all these problems to get inside him, right? So, and never opens his mouth and say one word, either in favor of demigods, or in favor of the demons. When Aditi comes and says, complains about Didi, he will say, yes, that's true what you are saying. And when Didi comes and says about Aditi, he will say exactly the same thing.
to Didi also. So both Aditi and Didi were constantly complaining each other about them. And you can understand this like this, that you will never make an opinion about anyone. You won't take anything inside. And even if they have something, whether it is true or whether it is not true, he would not take that opinion inside. That's his her opinion, Aditi's opinion. It's not my opinion, that's his attitude. But he won't say anything. Similarly, when Didi says something about Aditi, that's Didi's opinion, but he won't say anything. He will just take the head. If you say the head like this, it means that you have not said anything wrong. Only the head has moved, isn't it? You have not agreed with it. But at the same time, the person who is in front of you complaining accepts that you have agreed. Didi is happy or Aditi is happy. You are saying, yeah, I agree with you, but you are not saying that. Only if you open your mouth and say something, then only you have verbally agreed. But you are not verbally given any commitment. So, that means when they speak, you have to pull the shutter in the ears. You should not get inside. So, when people tell you about the worldly matters also, worldly issues, worldly problems and all that, if you pull the shutter and you keep listening to them, then nobody will give you too much trouble. Generally people, what they want is somebody to hear. They want someone to hear their problems. So that's all what they expect. They are not expecting you to say anything. They are more than happy. Some people will push a lot. Yes or no, they will say. They are the funniest lot. This one who comes and says, yes or no. Give an answer, yes or no, they will say. You don't even know the whole story. How can you say yes or no about anything? They won't leave you. They'll let you go. Sometimes these investigative journalists, have you seen them?
Yes.
This is their so-called investigative. They are stupid, they are. But why? Because you don't know the whole background of the whole situation before you can say anything about it. They are bringing some report in their own way and putting it, throwing in front of you and asking you to say yes or no. How can you say yes or no? You can't say any yes or no. Yes or no has no meaning. But they think they are very, very clever by asking this way. That yes or no. I've asked you a straight question, you give me a straight answer. They say, yes or no. They say. So, all this is an indication of the... So, in these situations, the only way you can escape is shake the head, but don't answer anything. If you shake the head, they can't report in the paper tomorrow because there's no proof for that. But if you say something, it's a proof. They'll use that against you next day in the paper. So, when two people are talking to each other, if you carefully observe them, you will see one person will be keep on talking and the other person will keep on listening, that he is not bothered. He wants to talk. The other person wants to listen. And this person is not listening anything. He is waiting for the other person to stop so that he can start. This is how it is, isn't it? So, this is the world. The world, it is like that. So, our Kashyapa Prajapati, what he used to do, whatever he says, he will shake the head. No problems, right? So, it is in this situation, Aditi thought like this. Aditi says to, decided that I am going to tell Kashyapa Prajapati what I feel about the whole thing. How to say this? So, the really advanced people in spiritual life, they give advice to householder like this, that in the grihasthashramam, householder life, now and then it is better to have a separation temporarily from the whole situation, because when there is a lot of problems building up in the house, all kinds of issues building up, right, that and when it is at peaking up, when it comes to the peak, at that time, you should just go away from home.
walk out from the home. And when, then you tell them that I'll think about it, I'll come up with solution. And then you walk away from there. And if you say like that, they'll become a little peaceful. Because in Maya, all these things are happening, right? Within the jurisdiction of Maya. So, so by the time you go away and come back after a couple of days or something, the situation would have become more peaceful at home by then, right? So similarly, this Kashyapa Prajapati, what he used to do, when Aditi and Didi start fighting, and the fighting becomes very intense, Kashyapa will leave home. You will see that often happening in the Bhagavatam. Kashyapa Prajapati will leave home and go away, right? Then he will go to Himalayas or somewhere in some cave, sit there, goes into meditation, and for years and years, he'll be in the meditation. Kashyapa Prajapati, right? And when he wakes up, he'll come back again. Look at the chapter 16, what it says. Bhagavatam. Shri Shukha Vajam, Evam Putreshu Nashteshu, first verse. Devamada Adidistada, Athyatre Ade Trivishta Vedaiti, Paridapyadanathaval, Ekada, in one instance, Ekada Kashyavastasya, Ashramam Bhagavanagad, Nirulsavam Niranandam, Samadher Viratashchiral. You can see the word saying, Kashyapa Prajapati, after a long period, he was away from home, in somewhere in the forest or Himalaya somewhere. He was away. Because of the problems at home, he went away. But when he came back, after his samadhi state, when he looked at, came home, he found Aditi was not very happy. Aditi looked very depressed and unhappy. So Kashyapa Prajapati used to do this all the time. As soon as there is a problem and he finds that if he can't live with it anymore, the quarrel was getting too heavy. He was not trying to solve the problem. Did you notice that? He will go away. He'll tell, I'll find a solution, he will say, and then he will go. And he knows that by the time he come back, that problem will be, the heat will have gone away. And then Kashyapa Prajapati will stay, spend time with them. So that's why you can see that verse begins like this, Ekada. In Bhagavatam, in few places you will find this word used, Ekada. Ekada means that it happened once like this. One instance it happened like this, Ekada. Kashyapastasya ashramam bhagavanagad nirulsavam niranandam samadhir viradaschiral. When he came home, there was no happiness or peace at home. Aditi looked very depressed. Aditi looked very depressed, right? So, when he came home, after the samadhi, nirulsavam niranandam, altogether an emptiness at home, asked Aditi, what happened? What's the matter? If you look into Narayaniyam, what it says, that Aditi's situation, second verse, chapter 30, Putrarti darshana vashad adidir vishanna tam kashyapam nijabadim sharanam prapannaha. Tam kashyapam nijabadim sharanam prapanna. What was the problem? Kashyapa Prajapati asked, did anything happen that you could not look after your guests properly? Or, in their system at that time was, if guests had come and you could not look after them properly, that was considered to be a big fall in their life. Okay. So, those houses where guests are not treated properly, that house is considered to be a empty. It's like a empty. What do they call it? Like the snakes when they go into their holes, something like that. Right. So, at least to offer a glass of water, the very minimum. Only after that, any conversation. So this is the authority for that. So here, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will find that griheshu yesh adhidayo na archida salilai ravi yadi niryandide nunam peru raja grihopama. Through Bhagavatam, Shuka Brahmarshi is saying to us that, seventh verse, those houses where the guests don't get a glass of water, and such houses are considered to be like the places where the foxes live, their holes. Remember how the foxes goes in? It's not much different than that. He says, like that, right? So, so, Feru Raja Grihopama, Bhagavatam says like that. It's a fox's caves where they live, isn't it? The people who live there are not human beings. They are like foxes. So, when the guests come, they should be received properly, and you should feel happy that the guests had come, and they should be honored all the respects. If you do all that, this will not happen. But what has happened now? Kashyapa Prajapati is asking, has anything happened like that? Aditi says, Aditi replies to Kashyapa Prajapati, nothing has happened like that. I am continuing with the worship of the guests. Similarly, worship of the Devadas, Devabuja, everything is happening properly. Nothing has stopped. But that's not the reason I'm not happy. That's not the reason for that. What's the problem? My children, they don't have a place to stay. And they are wandering around all over. They have no kingdom to rule. They were all wealthy and opulent ones. Right? Now they are living a life of poverty. And they have no place to stay. Nothing like that. So, I am thinking, what should I do for their happiness? Aditi is saying to Kashyapa Prajapati. Kashyapa Prajapati thought, I've just come back and this is the start, the beginning itself. Kashyapa Prajapati says to Aditi like this. Who? Kashyapa Prajapati says to Aditi Devi, okay, we cannot do anything with the children. We are thinking that we can change our children. We can't do anything about them. And he says to her that in this world, nobody has any permanent relationship with anybody. Kashyapa Prajapati's advice to Aditi has come from the Samadhi state, and Aditi started the complaint, unhappiness, why she is unhappy, because my children are unhappy, they have no place to stay. And Kashyapa Prajapati knew everything what was happening. So he says to her, we can't do anything about children. They have grown up. They are grown up men and women. Girls, boys and girls. They have grown up. And we can't change them, he says. And prior to that, you should realize this. Nobody had any permanent relationship with anyone in this world. Somehow or the other, we feel we have to change them. We have to make them devotees or Krishna consciousness. This is all a kind of illusion it is inside us. For example, in that he says, look at Kashyapa Prajapati's words. Verse 19. Kwa deho baudhigo analma kwa chalma pragrde para kasya ke pati putra adhyam moham evahi karanam. He says, Kodeho, prior to that, the verse before that, he says, evam abhyartido aditya, evam abhyartido aditya, kasta amahas mayanhiva, aho maya balam vishnu, sneha baddham imam jagal. That is an important line to mark. Aho maya balam vishnu,
snehabaddham imam jagat. This world going like this because of attachment, mutual attachment. It's snehabaddham. Because people have attachment to each other, therefore this world is going on like this. Snehabaddham imam jagat. And then what else did he say? Aho mayabalam Vishnu. Vishnu's maya's power. Otherwise, what connection has anyone got with anybody in this world? If you look at it. Aho mayabalam Vishnu. Snehabaddham imam jagat. That was the first realization from Kashyapa Prajapati when he came back from the samadhi state. Then he said to her, Ko deho baudhiyo analpa ko chalpa pragrade paraha kasya ke patiputradya moham evahi karanam. As far as Kashyapa Prajapati is concerned, this body doesn't exist. Body doesn't exist. That's what he's saying there. This body is something that you have superimposed on the self. Self is the real thing. Body is in your awareness, you are feeling that it exists. You feel it exists. The body existing. So therefore it is a superimposed thing. It's not real. So that's what he's asking that question. Ko deho baudhiyo analma ko chalpa pragrade para. He says, and where is Atma, the soul, who is beyond this material body? And if it is like that, who is husband and who is wife? Who is whose husband? He's asking. And who is the children? Whose son it is that? And who is the friend? Behind all these things, the only force that's working is ignorance. This is spiritual knowledge. Laugiyam level we will say, oh, we have to offer respects to the father, respects to the mother and all. But in a spiritually realized state, all this has no meaning. All this has no meaning. That's what he's saying there. That ko deho baudhiyo analpa ko jalpa pragrade para kasya ke patiputradyam. Husband, son, moham eva hi karanam. The only thing behind that is illusion. It's only due to illusion we are trapped in that understanding of husband, wife, children and all that. This is the Kashyapa Prajapati's advice to her. So, and you will see this in the sixth canto also, Jiva spoke the same to Chitrakedu. Is it not? Again it is repeated here. He says, in different lifetimes, you had different husbands, right? And different husbands had different wives also. And you had different children. And you had different father, different mother. And several lifetimes we have gone through like this. Different bodies as father and mother, husband and wife, son and daughter. In this way we have changed the body in different lifetimes with different jivas, right? But right now what's happening? Due to our illusion in us, I'm taking this particular body as me. Right now, I'm taking this particular body as me, and those children who have gone from this body is my children, and I'm start thinking they should be happy in life, they should be properly situated, and if anything happens to other children, it doesn't matter. All this is the symptom of ignorance or illusion in a person. Kashyapa Prajapati's advice to Aditi Devi. Then Aditi Devi never understood all these things. Even though Kashyapa Prajapati is saying all these things. So therefore give up all this understanding. But Aditi Devi is a mother. And mother cannot accept it easily, all these things, right? Mother is always thinking about the children and suffering from that. Kashyapa Prajapati understood. You will see a lot of resemblance of this incident with Chitrakedu and the Jiva. Angiras Maharshi and Srinarada Maharshi came to tell Chitrakedu, don't get affected by this. This is not real. This is illusion. Maya this is. Chitrakedu won't listen. And finally, what did they decide? They decided, you can have a child. So that, but this child will give you happiness and a lot of distress at the end. And Chitrakedu had the child died, and then all what happened?
And then they come back again. Who? Chitraketu, Angiras Maharshi and Srinarada Maharshi comes together and talk to them, don't they? You know in the Bhagavatam, that's all important parts in the sixth canto. So the advice was that we instructed you before, you didn't take it seriously. You kept on insisting that you are right. But we told you that this is not going to, your prarabdham is there, that's why you're not having any children. But now you got a child, and that child is going to has given you this distress. So that child spoke, that jiva spoke. Narada Maharshi called the jiva back. Jiva spoke. When the jiva spoke, Chitraketu woke up inside. There is a few verses in the Bhagavatam where to take Chitraketu out of the illusion, Angiras has spoken. There. So at that time, so you never know when you are deep, it is called abhinivesham. Abhinivesham means in your mind, inside, you are so fixed on this something. You are so fixed on something, nobody can change it. That is called abhinivesham. Excessive attachment like that. So even though Angiras Maharshi and Sridharada Maharshi, they are rishis, they have knowledge. And Chitraketu says, you are all people with knowledge. And why am I suffering? And so they are giving the solution, but he is not listening. So who is to be blamed? So Chitraketu and Angiras left, Angiras and Narada Maharshi left him and went away, and then they came back later, after the baby's death. And then Narada Maharshi calls the jiva, comes back, and jiva says to Chitraketu, that, why are you calling me back? My food is finished here. I'm going to the next place. Already it's all fixed up for me, another place somewhere else, to take birth as somebody else's son. So in several lifetimes, I had several father, mother, and several brother, sister. And in this lifetime, you can happen to be there for a short period of time. I'm going to my next one. Why are you stopping me? Only at that time, Chitraketu came to his senses. And Chitraketu realized that I am foolishly thinking, showing all my attachment to them. Thinking that they are my son, my son, my son. What my son? Son is not bothered. Son is bothered about his life, future. He is seeing, he had so many fathers, mothers have come and gone, you are one of them. To which father and which mother I should be present? When he asked that question, Chitraketu came to his senses. And then he followed Angiras after that. Yatva abhinivesham, says in the Bhagavatam. So, in the same way here, that Kashyapa Prajapati is advising knowledge, giving the knowledge to Aditi. Aditi, because of abhinivesham, excessive attachment to the children, she is not able to listen to it, able to take it on board. It is not easy, but exceptional cases it happened that they were able to take the instruction, but majority cases it is not possible. So same thing happened here, that Kashyapa Prajapati says, Kashyapa Prajapati understood that it's not working. Advice is not taken seriously. It's not working. So he says to her that you can worship Krishna. Do this. Payovratam was given as a process to worship. Payovratam it is called. And what Kashyapa Prajapati was saying to Aditi was, don't make plans of your own. I'll give you a process. Follow that process and please Krishna. And that's what you should do. This is the process for the householder. When too much distress comes, increase worship of Krishna. Then, because he couldn't say anything, you can see his problem, that Kadidi has come and complained about Didi-Devi's children, demons, isn't it? And they are also his children. So, how can you advise them? Because they are also his children, isn't it? He called Mahabali. What he wanted was, what Aditi wanted was, Aditi wanted Kashyapa Prajapati to call Mahabali and ask him to hand over the kingdom back to Indra. That's what she wanted basically, Aditi Devi. But Kashyapa Prajapati says, I cannot do that, because you'll see here what he says there. Kasya ke padi putra adhyam moham evahi karanam. Kasya ke padi putra moham evahi karanam. Means, I cannot say this to them. Reason being, who should rule the kingdom? And the demons may have, the Mahabali and his people, they have the prarabdham to rule the country, to rule the kingdom, right? So, who should rule and who should not rule, it is not for me to decide. This is Kashyapa Prajapati's argument. It is not for me to decide. According to their prarabdham, sometimes Mahabali will rule, sometimes Indra will rule. And that is decided by their prarabdham, not by me. I cannot interfere in that. This is the position Kashyapa Prajapati has taken. And that is decided by... Therefore, what he said was, I won't give you any opinion about that. I'm not going to say anything to them either. Only solution is, you please Krishna and perform this payopradam and gave this prathamam, payopradam process to him. So, out the payopradam process is, out of the 14 days in paksham, that means the prathama, dvitiya, tritiya, chaturthi, like that it goes, isn't it? So from prathama onwards up to trayodashi day, that using milk, perform the abhishek for Krishna, 12 days, and it's a simple process. It's not very difficult, complicated. So, 12 days, but proper instructions has to come from a proper source, like Kashyapa Prajapati. Aditi performed that, and it worked. Why? Because the teacher is that standard, that position. And the similar disciple also, Aditi also, in a very elevated. Kashyapa Prajapati gave the instructions, and at the end of that, you will see there in the 17th chapter that Krishna appeared after this. Krishna appeared after that. What does he say? Aditi Vacha, verse 8 and 9. Yatnya esha yatnya purusha achyuta tirtha pada tirtha shrava shravana mangala namadheya. Apannaloga brujina obashama udaya adhya shamna kridisha bhagavan nasi dinanatha. Yatnyesha yatnya purusha achyuta tirtha pada tirtha shrava shravana mangala namadheya. Apannaloga brujina obashama udaya adhya shamna kridisha bhagavan nasi dinanatha. Vishwaya vishwabhavana sthiti samyamaya svairam grihida purishakti gunaya bhumne swasthaya shashyupa brumhida purna bhoda vyavadidalpadamase haraye namaste. Haraye namaste. Krishna appeared. He says swasthaya shashyupa brumhida purna bhoda vyavadidalpadamase haraye namaste. As soon as Vamana Murti appeared in front of Aditi Devi, that darkness inside Aditi Devi, because till now it was darkness, not able to understand what Kashyapa Prajapati was saying to her, that is a symptom of darkness inside. Not able to understand things, not able to accept things inside. It's due to darkness inside. Right? When the darkness is gone, Vamana Murti appeared. Right? And pure consciousness started working inside. That means sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, all that has gone, and alma, knowledge of the self, has come to her. Because this attachment, why it was such feeling so strongly inside? Due to rajogunam and tamogunam inside. Because after all, attachment is on a bodily level, isn't it? Bodily attachment, that is. And this bodily attachment, the reason behind that is rajasa and tamasa inside. Excessive rajasa and tamasa. When the rajasa and tamasa goes away, proper knowledge will come and we will start seeing things as they are. That is the... We are not seeing things as they are when we have a lot of attachment built up inside. So that is what has happened to Aditi Devi. Aditi Devi was having tremendous attachment for the Indra and the other children. And due to that, even though Kashyapa Prajapati gave her a proper good advice, sound advice based on the Shastram, everything, Aditi could not listen to it at all. But in such a situation, Kashyapa Prajapati is saying, the solution is not to call the demons, or Mahabali and others, and instruct them about it. Rather, right thing to do, that to engage Aditi Devi in Krishna service and please Krishna through Payavratam, what was given to her. Aditi Devi did that, and due to that, at the end of the 12 days worship of Aditi Devi, Vamanamurti appeared. How did he appear? When he appeared, that ignorance inside has gone. Ignorance inside has gone. And for short period of time, Lord Vamanadev, he stood in front of Aditi Devi and looked at her and said, he says to her, I know why you are in distress, but there's one problem. What is that? Even if I want, and Aditi understood who has come. Vamanamurti is Vishnu himself has come. Vamanamurti says to her, even if I am Narasimham now, I cannot fight with Mahabali. That's what he said. Even if I am Narasimham now, I cannot do anything with Mahabali. Karanam, the reason for that is, Mahabali is not Hiranyakashipu. You see? Mahabali is not Hiranyakashipu. So I can't do anything. If it was Hiranyakashipu, because Balir Mahalma, Mahabali is Mahalma he is, isn't it? So, therefore, it is not possible for me to fight with them and to beat them. That's not possible. Because, therefore, what I can do is, what I'll do is, considering this Indra and others as my elder brothers, because they are her elder brothers, isn't it? Vamanamurti's elder brothers they are. Vamanamurti is the youngest of Aditi's children. So I'll keep them as elder brothers. And I will go to Mahabali and beg from him for the kingdom to give him back, right? And he was ready for that. Vamanamurti was ready for that. And Mahavishnu, it is Mahavishnu's form now speaking to him, speaking to Aditi Devi. It is Mahavishnu's form. Mahavishnu says to her that you be prepared to be my mother when I come as Vamanamurti, as my mother. And what did he do? That think about your husband, Kashyapa Prajapati. Imagine that Kashyapa Prajapati is me. Husband as Krishna himself in that way. And gave a yoga process to Aditi Devi to perform that. And if you keep on thinking like this, your husband as Kashyapa Prajapati as Vishnu, think like that, Kashyapa Prajapati as Vishnu, and I am your son. In that way, if you keep on develop that sankalpam inside strongly, I will take birth as your son. It's all through the sankalpam it has happened. That Kashyapa Prajapati is her husband. Think about Kashyapa Prajapati as me, Vishnu. And think of me as your son. In this way, if you develop a strong sankalpam inside, I will take birth. But you should not mention about this conversation to anyone. You shouldn't even mention this to Kashyapa Prajapati. Even to him, you shouldn't say that. But it's difficult for Aditi Devi not to say this. After all, Mahavishnu appeared after Kashyapa Prajapati gave these instructions to follow Payavratam. The 12 days fasting. The whole process was given by Kashyapa Prajapati. Now, Mahavishnu is saying to Aditi Devi, don't mention about this even to Kashyapa Prajapati, right? So, she has never in her life kept anything secret from her husband. But still, in spite of that, Mahavishnu said to Aditi, don't mention anything about this to your husband, the one, said like that. So she said, okay. So, And she came back to the ashram and offered obeisances to Kashyapa Prajapati. At the same time, she wants to say this to Kashyapa Prajapati, what happened. But at the same time, she has given the word to Mahavishnu that I won't mention this to him. So, when she got back, Kashyapa Prajapati knew everything what has happened. And Kashyapa Prajapati asked Aditi, what happened? Because while performing Payovratam, Aditi Devi was away from home, doing it strictly according to the instructions. Right? So Kashyapa Prajapati asked Aditi, what happened? After 12 days, has Mahavishnu appeared in front of you? And then what did Mahavishnu say to you? Think of me as Mahavishnu himself. And think of Mahavishnu as your son. Did he not? He said to her. And he said that he will appear, didn't he? Said like that, right? When Kashyapa Prajapati asked like that, the question, Aditi Devi was happy. Because she understood that, Aditi understood that Kashyapa Prajapati knew everything what has happened. Kashyapa Prajapati knows everything. He's a Sarvajna, knows everything, right? So, there is nothing more to say to Kashyapa Prajapati. Aditi Devi didn't have to say anything. You will see in the Narayaniyam also, if we look into the verse, fourth verse, chapter 30. Tvam kashyabe tapasi sannidhal tadanim praptosi garbhamadide pranado vidhatra prasudaja prakada vaishnava divya rupam sadvadashi shravana punyadine bhavandam. If you look into Bhagavadam 18th chapter, the first verse, Sri Shuka Vacha, Itam virinjastu da karma virya pradurbabhu amrtabhura adityam chaturbhuja shankagadabja chakra pishangavasa nalinaya dekshana. Vamana Murthy's appearance is spoken there like that. That initially appeared in the four-handed form. Conch shell, disc, lotus flower and the club in the hand, yellow garment and lotus eyes. Beautiful lotus eyes, right? So that's what he mentions there. Fifth verse, if you look Bhagavadam. Shronayam Shravana Dwadashyam Muhurte Abhijidi Prabhu Sarve Nakshatra Taradya Chakrustha Janma Dakshinam. This is the time of birth. Abhijit is the star. The star is Abhijit. Dwadashi day, it is called Vijaya Dwadashi. That day, Lord Vamanadev appeared, and at the same time the drums were played in the sky, mridanga, panavam, and so many instruments. Then the rishis in the sky stood there and chanted the Vedam from there. Apsaras women danced, Gandharvas played the music and they danced. The four Kumaras, Sanaga and other rishis, they glorified Jaya Jaya. And at that time, Aditi Devi saw who has appeared in front of her. 11th verse. Drishtva Aditi Stadam Nijagarbha Sambhavam Parampumam Samradama Abhavismida Grihida Deham Nijay Ogamayaya Prajabhadishchaha Jayeti Vismidam. Aditi saw Mahavishnu who has appeared in front of her and felt extremely blissful, right? And Kashyapa Prajapati also saw and glorified Mahavishnu at that time. They both glorified Mahavishnu at that time. And suddenly what happened at that time? Changed the form and stood there in the form of Vamana Murthy. So, when they looked, Kashyapa Prajapati and Aditi Devi looked at that, looked at that form, very beautiful form, very divine and auspicious appearance of Vamanamurti, right? But no clothes on, standing there like that. In Krishnavadaram, when Krishna appeared, gopis saw Krishna first. Isn't it? Gopis saw Krishna first. And Krishna was fully naked, baby form. And here, instead of gopis, who was present there? The rishis were all present there. Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanadana, Sanat Kumara Maharshi, the four Kumaras and other famous rishis, they were all present there at the time of the appearance, right? Appearance. You will see that they were very pleased by the appearance of Vamanamurti. Punyashramam tamabhi varshadi pushpavarshair harsha gule suragule krita durya ghoshe badvanjalim jaye jaye dinada pridrabhyam tvam talshane padudamam badirubham adhaham. Suddenly, that this form he had, he changed into a little boy. Vadirupa Madha, a little brahmachari, he came there. And straight away, they offered him the thread. Brihaspati came and offered the thread. Kashyapa Prajapati became the priest for the brahmacharis, Ubanayanam. Gayatri mantram was given, Savitri Devata of the Gayatri. Gayatri Devi came and instructed Gayatri to Vamanamurti. Then Kashyapa Prajapati, there is a particular grass, Muncha grass, what's available from the forest. With that they make the special dress for brahmachari. If you want to understand the actual proper brahmachari's dress, this Vamanamurti's dress is the ideal brahmachari's dress. For a long time, people followed this brahmachari dress like this. Only now, most lot of brahmacharis have got very silk, finest silk clothes, and all other things. When one handled the mobile phone, another hand computer. Modern brahmachari, it's a different form. But the older brahmacharis had different things. If you read the description here, what actual brahmachari had. Brahmachari had, so all these, and then the deer skin to wear. Bhumi Devi has come and given the deer skin to her, to Vamanamurti. And Chandra, moon came, and they give that brahmachari as a stick in the hand, made of palasham. Palasham is a kind of a tree similar to banyan tree. And the stick from that they are supposed to carry in the hand. All it has its own significance for having that. And so brahmachari is never supposed to be naked any time. He should always have that kaupinam, brahmachari's underwear. He should have that. Mother him and put that, Aditi Devi put kaupinam on Vamanamurti, right? And then after that, for performing Sandhyavandanam, it is necessary for them to have the kamandalu, the water pot. Lord Brahma came and handed over the water pot to Vamanamurti. Saraswati Devi came and gave the chanting beads to her, the mala for chanting the rounds, right? The Sapta Rishis, they came and with the darbhagras they created for brahmacharis to wear. And that one was created by him. And for samidhadhanam, they require grass. And that was given, darbha was given to him. If you look into the verse 17, it will say, Tasman 8:18-17. Tasmai tubanidaya yaksharal patrigamadal Bhiksham Bhagavadi Sachal Umadad Ambiga Sadi. Kubera comes and gave the begging bowl to her. And then Brahmachari is supposed to go to wealthy householder's house, and standing in front of their house, Bhiksham Dehi, give bhiksha to me. They have to ask like that. So, in order to give that bhiksha, there should be a person who is ready to give that bhiksha. So, when normally what they will do is they will go, this was at that time, not now. Bhavadi Bhiksham Dehi, asking the lady in the house to come and give bhiksha to the brahmachari had come, give bhiksha to the brahmachari. And almost all the mother will give food, bhiksha to the brahmachari. So, that is why you will see that is how Sri Parvati has another form, that bhiksha, giving bhiksha form, Annapurneshwari. Annapurneshwari is that form of Sri Parvati who gives bhiksha to the brahmachari. Nityanandagari, Varabhayagari, Nirduda, Logabhavanagari, Saundarya Ratnagari. There is a verse like that about Annapurneshwari, who gives brahmachari bhiksha. You can see all different forms have different names given to them according to the function they have performed, right? Annapurne, Sadapurne, Shankara Pranavallabhe, the addressing Sri Parvati, all these verses, right? Therefore, she has these names, Ambiga Devi, Uma Devi, Parvati Devi, all this her name. She gave bhiksha gave bhiksha to Vamanamurti, right? After receiving the bhiksha, they have this ceremony called Shamidadhanam. That was performed. And they have their special umbrella made for that, from palmyra leaves. From palmyra leaves, right? And Kaubin Achadanam Matra, it says, you see that? If you look at the words, Dadau Krishnajinam Bhumi. Verse 15. Dadau Krishnajinam Bhumi. Dandam Somo Vanaspati. Kaubin Achadanam Mada. Dyau Chatram Jagatpate. 15th verse. Mother Earth came and gave Krishnajinam. Vanaspati Soma came the Dandam. Mother gave the Kaupinam. And Jagatpati Dyau gave the umbrella.
Umbrella.
So, with all this, brahmachari, this brahmachari, next thing is to go from there to receive charity, accepting charity. Where will she go? Where will Vamanamurti go? If you are going to accept charity, you should go to someone who is qualified for that and someone who is capable of giving it, right? So he decided to go to Narmada river bank. There Mahabali was performing Ashwamedham sacrifice. Ashwamedham sacrifice was going on, right? And Shukracharya was performing this sacrifice for the sake of Mahabali, saying to Mahabali, look, your opulence will increase many times more if you perform this Ashwamedham. Like that. And Shukracharya really wanted to elevate Mahabali's position in this world. So therefore he was doing everything he knows to bring him up in his life, right? So, and so that he will not fall again and fall into the control of Indra once again. So in this way he told, if you read Bhagavatam you will find Shukracharya's instructions to Mahabali that perform Ashwamedham, as many Ashwamedhams as possible. And similarly, Ashwamedham started. Narmada river bank, there is a Yagashala there where Yagam is going on. And when the Yagam is going on, Mahabali is there. And Mahabali's wife, Vindhyavali, she is also there. The daughter, Ratnamala, she is there. Yajamanani, Yajamana Patni, and they all have to be there. And then who else is there? Mahabali is there. And then Shukracharya is there. And all the other Brahmam, Adhuryu, Ritvik, the Udgada, the four people who sit all around the four sides of the sacrifice, they are also present there. And the Vedic mantram related to Ashwamedham was being going on. Takes 4 days together. So, when they are all this Yagashala, this was going on, it is at that time our Vamanamurti walks in. Vamanamurti walks into that place holding this kamandalu or water pot in the hand, another hand the stick, and this umbrella made of palmyra leaves, only wearing this kaupinam, nothing else, and everything with the japamala also in the hand. With all these things, he walked in. And because he is very small, Vamanamurti is very small, and he had got this umbrella on the shoulder, he's holding it. It is not like the modern umbrella, which you can fold and put it in a plastic bag. Palmyra leaf made of, this means that you have the stick and the top part, you may not have seen this umbrella. It was there some 50, 60 years ago, it's all disappeared now. Now if you call that, people will laugh at you, if you take that umbrella. But farmers and all had that. And it is made of palmyra leaves, and there were people who will make it and bring it to you. You can buy. And it cannot be folded. You can't fold it. You leave it like that, as it is. So when you put that thing, it's always open, this umbrella. Therefore, when you look from the backside, you can't see Vamanamurti. You can only see this umbrella. Because there's only two small legs at the bottom, walking. Imagine that within yourself, you can see that. Those two little legs are walking, the whole umbrella is covering the whole body when you look from the backside. So Vamanamurti is going like that to this Yagashala, to the sacrificial place. Yeah. So so you'll see there mentioned that Shuktashwamede Yajamanamurjidam Belim Brigana Ubagalpidei Sada Jagama Tatragila Sarasam Prado Bharenagam Sanamayan Pade Pade Bharenagam Sanamayan Pade Pade. Step by step, Vamanamurti is walking towards that Yagashala, to that place where this was happening, isn't it? So you will see in the Narayan, that is that verse in the Bhagavatam, in Narayaniyam, Elpathur said that Gatrena Bhavi Mahimochida Gauravam Prag Vyavrunva Deva Dharanim Chalayan Nayasi Chatram Varoshmadiranartham Ivadadano Dandam Jadanava Janeshuva Sannidhadum. Melpathur gave a little bit more about it. He says, Dandam Jadanava Janeshuva Sannidhadum. Dandam, that stick in the hand is for what? To give one or two to someone who don't want to listen. He says, Dandam Dānava Janeshuva Sannidhādam, to make them conscious properly. That's what that stick for. So, that means, the was holding the umbrella, and the stick appeared as though it is meant for giving a one or two smacks for the asuras, for the demons, isn't it? And the umbrella he was holding, that as though he does not want to feel the heat, that means not showing his, that Brahma Tejasa, not to expose that, right? So he walked into the Yashala, where the Yagam was going on. Tam narmado taradade hayametha shala maase dushitvai rujata varuddhane traihi vaswan kimesha dehanu anyu sanal kumaro yogini koyamidi shukramukhai shashange. What happened was, that when he walked in, Maunjya Mekhalaya Vidam Upavida Jinotaram Jadilam Vamanam Vipram Maya Manavagam Harim Bhagavadam. Then Maya Manavagam Hari, Mahavishnu has come here, that when he walked inside to the Yagashala, where the sacrifice was going on, when he walked inside, all the great personalities were there, the rishis were all there, assisting Shukracharya in this sacrifice, Ashwamedham. And loads of other people who were. As soon as this Brahmachari walked in, due to that Brahma Tejas, they all got up from their seats. Why did they get up? That says there, isn't it? What did they think? Who has come? Sanal Kumaro Yogi in Koyamidi Shukramukhai Shashange. He said the four Kumaras, somebody from the four Kumaras had come. They felt that respect towards that Brahmachari like that. So, Shukracharya noticed, Mahabali is a spiritual master, right? He thought, as the sun has come for the sacrifice, because he was so effulgent, this brahmachari who had come, or as the fire has come, that effulgence, right? Or is it Sanat Kumara Maharshi had come? Or is there any other great yogi who had come like that? Shukracharya looked at the head of the brahmachari, right? When he looked at the head, he could see the matted hair of the brahmachari. Brahmachari had matted hair. But so therefore when you look at, you couldn't find out who it was. The whole dress has changed. Vamanamurthy by nature is very short, 2 feet, 2.5 feet is the height. And in Ramayanam, how did he come? Huge tall figure, Ramachandra, Ajanubahu, long arms, very high, tall personality, Ramachandra. Ramayanam, he has come like a Kshatriya like that. Here it says, Vipra, Jadilam, Vamanam, Vipram, Maya, Manavagam, Harim. Brahmachari, Hari had come as Brahmachari, attracting everyone's heart towards her, towards him. Jadilam, Vamanam, Vipram, Maya, Manavagam, Harim. Then, what else? That ninth verse. Anidama Shubhragavir Mahasa Abhibodai Swam Ramyaruba Masura Pulaga Avadanga Bhaktya Asamety Sukrati Parinidya Bhado Tatoyam Anyadrada Murdhani Tirtha Tirtham. Shukracharya could not understand. And then immediately he went up to him, to the Brahmachari, and brought him inside, because he is glowing with effulgence. Who is this? He couldn't figure out straight away. First thing, what did Mahabali do at that time? Mahabali was there. Mahabali felt how Krishna can change everyone, every minute, the way of thinking. Mahabali straight away, with a lot of deep humility, offered obeisances to this Brahmachari. Brahmachari's position is glorified in the Shastram, due to that Brahma Tejasa inside, right? Wash the feet. Brahmachari's feet was washed. We'll find there in the 29th verse how it all happened. That Swagadam De Bali saying, Mahabali saying to the Brahmachari, Swagadam De Namastubhyam Brahman Kim Karavamate Brahmarshinam Tapasakshal Manye Tvarya Vapurdharam. He says to her, welcome, welcome, he says to her. He says to Vamanamurthy that when Vamanamurthy saw Mahabali saw Vamanamurthy, in his mind this thought came in, who is this? Then even though externally, by through intelligence, he has not identified who that is. Normally we identify people with the intelligence, isn't it? That has not happened. But inside a feeling, this is not an ordinary brahmachari. For Mahabali, this happened. You will see that. Adhyana pidaras trutva adhyana pravidam kulam adhya sishta kradurayam yad bhavan agado grihan. Verse 30. Just by your presence alone, all our generations of our ancestors, all are purified, all our family has been purified. He says like that. And welcome. Mahabali says to the Brahmachari, what shall I do for you? He says, looking at you, it looks to me that you have nobody else, a personified form of all the tapashakti, tapas, austerity, power of austerities, of all the rishis, if you combine it together, it took a personal form and has come like this. That is what I feel. Said Mahabali is glorifying Vamanamurthy like this. Vamanamurthy is listening. Yes, yes. That's what I need, he said. This approach, you see, that he says to him, that all my ancestors are pleased with your, they have already liberated by your presence here. and my whole family has been purified, and there is no more necessity to continue this sacrifice anymore. Whether the sacrifice goes, happens or not happens, because ultimately all the purpose of all sacrifice is Vishnu. Yet you know why? Vishnu. Vishnu himself had come, that is what Mahavira is feeling inside. So that means this, it is a sacrifice, is a success. Is it not? So therefore these few statements he is saying there. Adhyana pidarastripta, adhyana pavidam kulam, adhya srishta kriturayam, yad bhavan agado grihan, he says. So, therefore, Mahabali was not bothered whether the sacrifice continues or not. As far as he is concerned, it's a success, right? So, when we saw Vamanamurti, Mahabali felt that this is not an ordinary, it is a Brahmajnani, a realized soul, definitely. So, and therefore, all the mantras that were chanted in the sacrifices all worked very well. Because he has arrived here, personally. That is how they test. In the great sacrifices, if any great personality happens to come, that means the sacrifice is a success. That's the proof. The proper sacrifice is a success. If some great personality turns up, there is a lot of history behind that. In many, many great personalities have performed sacrifices. In these sacrifices, great personalities do come. And they will be able to identify who they are, the personal who are performing the sacrifice, right? So, Mahabali immediately understood that his, particular sacrifice was a success. Ashwamedham that he is performing, is a success, he said. He even felt that everybody has been fed very well. Otherwise, this would not have happened. He was feeling like that. Because purpose of all sacrifice is ultimately placing Vishnu, Krishna, isn't it? Yet you know why? Vishnu. Everything ends up there. It is Krishna's pleasure ultimately. And if Krishna himself had come in some form, what that means what? He is pleased with the offering. He had come. That's what it is, right? So, when the sacrifice has begun, at that time, before it even, normally it happens after the completion of the sacrifice. But even before the completion of the sacrifice, this powerful, strong, effulgent Brahmachari has walked in, and our Mahabali felt inside, he was satisfied. He felt that the sacrifice was a success. So, because purpose of all sacrifice is ultimately reaching the lotus feet of Krishna. So, and he felt that all, whatever he had the sangalpam inside, that has been fulfilled. So you will see, agnyadayo me sukhrada yathavidi dijwal majata charana avane janehi hatam hasovar bhiriyam chaburaho tatha punida tanubhi padai istava. These are the words from Mahabali saying that by your presence alone this whole place is purified. And Mahabali was very much convinced Mahavishnu had come. But what happened now? For a short period of time, Maya covered Mahabali and changed his thoughts. Completely changed his mind. Mahabali says, you see, next words, after all this, with such realizations inside, how Maya affected Mahabali. Maya changed Mahabali's way of thinking. At that time, Mahabali felt, I am the king. He is a brahmachari. He has come to beg something. So, next verses you see. Yad vedvado vanchasi tal pradikshami tomarthinam viprasada anutarkaye gam kanchanam gunavadhamam rashtam tannadavaya mutrava vipraganyam Graman, Samardhan, Turagan, Gajan, Va, Radham, Sadarhatama, Sampradicha. Mahabali's words, it is nothing but Maya that has affected Mahabali to say like this. After knowing very well, initially he felt it is Vishnu had come and he's saying that my sacrifice was a success and such a great personality had come.
Normally, all what he did before was appropriate, offered obeisances, washed the feet, everything. But now, exactly opposite way he started speaking. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu buddhi rubena samsthita, screwed the whole thing, changed. Mahabali changed the thinking and started feeling that he has come to beg. And started treating him like that. And says to him, what can I give you? He said. And he's asking, O gam kanchanam gunavadhamam rishtam tannathaveyam utravam viprakanyam gramam samruddhan turagan gajanva radham sadarhatama sampradicha. Everything. You want horses, chariots, elephants, gold. Of course, you are a brahmachari. Maybe brahmachari, you may need a wife. Even that. I can arrange all that for you. Is that what you want? I want an answer from you. He says to him. So Mahabali says, ask whatever you want. After all, you are a brahmana, isn't it? And naturally, you have come to accept the charity. Whether you want property, village, or a girl to marry, wealth, whatever it is. But looking at you, I feel that you have come to ask for something. By looking at you, I feel like that, he said. You can ask. Mahamurti looked at Mahabali in a nice way. He says to him, that you'll see Naraniyam how it puts that. Prakhladamamsha jadaya kradubirdvijeshu vishwasado nutadidam didijo bilebhem yelte padambu girishasya shiro bilalyam satvam vibho guru viralaya palayedhaham. Mahabali, Vamanamurti says to, who are you? Born in Prahlada's family, isn't it? And your ancestors, how great they were. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. I'm not at all surprised you have asked this question to me, he says. You couldn't ask anything else except this because you are such a person from such a family. Your family background is like that. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. They are all people whom I will never forget, Vamanamurti is saying. I will never forget them. Because long ago, that Hiranyaksha gave me a punch on my chest. I still feel the pain, he says. Vamanamurti is saying this. That so heroic he was. Who? This Hiranyaksha. Frightened about Hiranyakashipu, I ran away from Vaikundam, looking for a place to hide from Hiranyakashipu. So such personalities have appeared in your family. You remember that story that Hiranyakashipu went to Vaikuntha planet looking for Vishnu. Where is Vishnu? Where is Vishnu? When he got there, the people in Vaikuntham told him, because they heard that you are coming here, he has heard that, so he has escaped, frightened of you. Hiranyakashipu was very happy when he heard that. So where did he... Mahavishnu says there that Vamanamurti is saying there, I found out a place where he won't inquire, so I went and stayed there. Where was that? In the heart of Hiranyakashipu, which means Hiranyakashipu will never inquire about the self. That's all what it means. In the Katha form, when it's said like this, that Hiranyakashipu, he says that when Hiranyakashipu came looking for me, I went and I was hiding in his heart. He could never find me, he said. So Mahamurti looked at Mahabali very happily and called Ajita. Ajita, he says. So you will see there that Ajita, the word. Prakhladamamsha Ajataya Kradubir Dijeshu Vishwasadonu Tadidam Didijobi Lephe Yelte Padambu Girishasya Shirobi Lalyam Sattam Vibho Guru Purale Valayatha Palayatha. So Krishna was addressed as Ajita, and who is Ajita? Ajita means whoever wants to get Krishna. You want to get hold of Krishna. For him, Krishna is Ajita. Krishna is Ajita. You can see, during the churning of the milk ocean, many times,
they lost the nectar. Here, in Mahabali is going to win Vamanamurti. Ultimately, it is Mahabali's success in this story, isn't it? Mahabali has won. So, when Mahabali surrendered to Vamanamurti, that is when Mahabali's success. By surrender, he became successful. By surrender, he became successful. When he took the position above Vamanamurti, he failed. Mahabali failed. So, indicating all these things, with folded hands, he says to him, that Pritya, first verse, 31, how Mahabali's Ahangaram was destroyed. That is this chapter, 31 chapter. Bali Darpam. Bali's Ahangaram, how it was smashed. Pritya, Daityastava Tanumaha Prechanal Sarvathabi, Tumaradhyanna Jidarajayam, Anjalim Sanjagada, Mattakimde Samabhilashidam, Viprasuno Vadatvam, Vittam Bhaktam, Bhavanamavanim, Vabi Sarvam Pradasyem. He says, Mahabali is addressing, Tvam Aradhyan Ajida, Rajayan Anjalim Sanjagada, Mattakim Te Samabhilashidam, Viprasuno Vadatvam, Vittam Bhaktam Bhavanamavanim, Vabi Sarvam Pradasyem. So, Sarvam Pradasyem. Ask anything. I will give it to you. Everything. Whatever you want, you can ask. Vamanamurti says to Mahabali, see, the family you were born, it's not an ordinary family, is it? It's not an ordinary family. Prahlada's family. Who is Prahlada? Right? Prahlada's grandson. It is Mahabali. And I'm not at all surprised, he said, you have said this to me, that ask for anything. Because you are born in Prahlada's family, what else do I expect from you? That family tradition will still flow through you, he says. Vamanamurti says, I'm not asking for a lot of things, 3 feet of ground, that's all I'm asking, he said. And which I can measure with my own feet, and nothing else I'm asking for. Tamakshinam beligiramubal karne karunya purno telsyo olsegam shamayitumana daitya vamsham prashamsan. Whole family history, Vamanamurti glorified. Bhumim padatraya parimidam prarthayam asidatvam sarvam dehidu tunigadide kasyahasyam navasyal. Kasyahasyam navasyal. He says to him that glorified the whole demon's race very well. And suppose, Vamanamurti says, if I ask for anything, everything from you, you will laugh, won't you, at me? 2.5 feet high person, Brahmachari. And you are asking me, what do you want? I can give you this, I can give you that. Now if I tell you, give me everything, the first thought that will come to your mind, what will that be? Look at this Brahmachari. Height is only 2.5 feet. But the height of the greed inside is Himalaya size. So greedy inside. Size small, physical size is small. The greed is so big. That's what you will think about me, wouldn't you? Says to him. So, therefore, he says, and therefore, 3 feet is more than enough for me, said Vamanamurti. Nothing else I want, and I will put the signature. If you give me that, that's enough for me. I don't want anything any more than that. I'll sign, he said. So, 3 feet. When Vamanamurti said this, Mahabali laughed. Completely laughed, he said. That, and saying smilingly, laughingly, he answered that to Vamanamurti. You will see that. Third verse.
Vishveshammam Trupadamikakim Yachase Balishastvam Sarvam Bhumim Brunakimamune Tyalabal Tvam Sadrupyan Yasmal Darpal Tripadaparipurtya Kshamakshepavadan Bandham Chasavagamadadar Obi Gadoba Shandiyaihi. Gadoba Shandiyai. That he says to him that you know me, who I am, Mahabali says. 2 × 7, 14 planetary systems is under my control. Right? And you come to me and asking me 3 feet of land. Doesn't match, does it? When you go to a very, very rich person like that, you don't go and ask him, can you give me 10p? Or can you ask a very small thing? It's an insult to him. So Mahabali is saying to him, you are actually insulting me. I am the proprietor of all the 3 planetary systems, right? And you are coming and asking me 3 feet of land in earthly planet. Is that something proper? He said, see, so and so, ask for something better than that. He said, in Bhagavadam, Melpattur put it like this, but in Bhagavadam, didn't say exactly like that. If you look at the 19th chapter, look at the verse 19. What it says, Maam vajobi samaradhya loganam egam ishwaram padatrayam rinideyo abuddhiman dibadashusham. He says, at least you should ask for an island, if not a whole planet. I've got 14 planetary systems. You could even ask for a planet. But even if you don't want to ask that, at least ask for one island, one big island. So, Melpattur used a logic there. He says to Krishna, then, Maya influenced Mahabali in such a way and forced him to say like this, that ask for anything, I will give it to you. And pointing out to all those who were present there that they were all become opulent in their life because they have taken my shelter. Said, so therefore, do you not learn how to ask something from somebody? Do you know how to live in this world? So, Mahabali was treating Vamanamurti, someone who is not properly educated. That means, he does not, the worldly wisdom he doesn't have. Like sometimes you can see young people who have gone very carefully taken care of in life. They go to school, they stay at home, and they don't have any contact with the world outside. When they leave the school, college and everything, start working in the world, they won't know how to deal with the world, because world is not such a straightforward place, isn't it? So there they get cheated easily, in different ways. Worldly wisdom, they don't have. So similarly, Mahabali took Vamanamurti, doesn't have the worldly wisdom, how to deal with the world. So he says, Tvam Balishaha, you are still like a child, aren't you? He said. But when Mahabali was having this conversation, everybody else who was present in the assembly, they were all looking at this conversation and they were smiling at it. Only one person was very serious, was not smiling at all. Shukracharya. He was the only person who was not smiling. So we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.